Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strasser.
Go to the second inning now, and it begins with Hogan Harris facing the number four batter in the Cedar Rapids order. This is Kyler Fedko taking ball one. The southpaw lets it fly. 1-0 Locos. That hits, no, just off the inside corner. And it's two balls and no strikes on Fedko. Fedko, Gray, and then Morales. 4-5-6 batters in the order. The pitch from Harris. Strike called on the inner edge. As called by the home plate umpire Nathan Diedrich. 2-1 on Fedko a couple of days ago. Had a four-run scored game. That was in the 10-2 Colonels rout. Takes ball three, low and in. For Hogan Harris in the first inning. A ground out to short by Prado. Encarnacion Strand singled against him, but Aaron Sabato wiped him out with a double play ball. And now Harris with the 3-1. Strike called at the letters on the outside corner. Kyler Fedko thought that he had drawn the walk. Fedko's hitting .283 through 16 games, 10 walks, 11 strikeouts. Great contact hitter. This is a payoff pitch from Harris. Fought off, foul off the right side. We'll try it again. Payoff on its way. Up high, he walked him. Fedko earns his way aboard. Lansing leads 1-0. On the first inning, the RBI ground out by Austin Beck. Seth Gray is coming up now, the left-handed batter, so a lefty-lefty matchup. This has been such an unusual series. 6-1, Lansing won the opener. 10-2, Cedar Rapids won game two. Yesterday, 7-3, Lansing. No close games. The pitch, Gray takes, inside ball one.
And the first time Lansing has scored first in all four games.
That's right. In the game one, Cedar Rapids led 1-0. Lansing then scored six unanswered. Yesterday, Cedar Rapids led 1-0. Lansing scored four unanswered on the way to the game. Curveball hooks outside. Two balls, no strikes. When that curve is on, that is a devastating strikeout pitch for Harris. Out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Has his sign. Let's fly a 2-0. Foul Fastball's outside. 3 balls and 0 strikes. We have not seen Hogan so far this year go longer than 2 innings. He's done that twice, and both those times, April 29th at Lake County and May 29th at Beloit, 2 perfect innings, 4 strikeouts. 3-0. Strike called on the outside corner. When he has gone wrong, it's usually been the command. He has not allowed more than 1 hit in any of his 5 appearances this year. He's already allowed the single by Encarnacion Strand in the first inning. 3-1. Missed outside. He's walked 2 in a row. And this matches the amount of walks that he has given up at maximum this year. Fedko to second. Gray at first. Nobody out for Jefferson Morales, with the Colonels trailing 1-0 in the second. Here comes the pitching coach, Don Schulze. Lansing Locos clad in the brilliant turquoise uniforms, the gem blue, with the marigold brims for the Lansing Locos cap. And if you're unfamiliar with the Locos, the Copa identity for the Lansing Lugnuts, the logo is the Potu bird. What Tyler Parsons, the GM for Lansing, has declared to be the most loco animal that they could find.
I thought you were going to call it the brilliant blue. And that, I feel like, works.
It's vivacious. It's a great, vibrant uniform to set off from the usual Lansing Lugnuts, black, red, gray, which are great, intimidating colors, especially the home uniforms, the red and the white, on the road, the black and the silver. But the turquoise and the marigold. Fedko at second, Gray at first base. It's the top of the second inning for Cedar Rapids. The Colonels are down 1-0, nobody out. Right-handed batter, first pitch. Morales takes, strike called on the inside corner.
Well, curious, we saw this yesterday from Mac Lardner to open up the third. He walked the first 3 batters in that half inning, but then got out of it with a caught stealing and a double play.
Here's the 0-1. A changeup is bounced wide of third, a foul ball. Strike 2 for Morales. Yesterday, just looking back at it, so the final score was 7-3. And yet, there were so many different ways that it could have tilted toward the Colonels. Final score was not truly indicative of what happened to the game. Harris throws, missed inside, ball 1. You mentioned the 3-walk inning. Ended on the line-out. The line-out into the double play by Kyler Fedko, the cleanup hitter in the order. The inning prior to that, Mac Lardner allowed 3 hits. The pitch, Morales skies it. Right field, Austin Beck to his left, circles forward. He's got the catch. At second base, Fedko tags. A throw comes into second base as Fedko belly flops into third. 1 out, runners at the corners for the Colonels.
Well, every fly ball tonight, as long as this wind stays what it is going to be really challenging. And Austin Beck got that right into that right field 16-mile-an-hour wind. And he just had to kept going step to step to his left because that ball kept carrying before he made the catch.
Wander Javier is the new batter. Right-handed hitter batting 7th. First pitch takes outside. 1 ball and 0 strikes. That double play induced by Harris in the first inning was the first double play ball that he has coached this year. He'd love a second. 1-0. Javier takes ball 2. Catcher Soderstrom caught it and presented it. Didn't get the call. It is going to be really interesting, Adam, with the wind whipping across the field left to right. Steady, hard wind. How that affects play. Ball 2 pitch. Javier swings and fouls it off to the right side. Wander Javier entering this plate appearance, batting 170 in 42 games. He has grounded into 5 double plays, and that leads Cedar Rapids. Leads Cedar Rapids by 3. The pitch, he fouls it off to the screen. 2 balls and 2 strikes on the shortstop. Colonels as a team have grounded into 21 double plays this year, with Sabatos in the first inning. On the other side, Lansing 33. Gray at first, Fedko at third, 1-0 Lansing. Pitch, popped him up. Now into the wind. This is going to be difficult. Anale, second baseman, rushes into foul ground, and the wind just took it right away from everybody, put it past the tarp, and it bounces out of play. 2-2, it stays.
There you go, prime example. That ball starts probably 5 to 10 feet in fair territory at the first base side, and then carries all the way towards the tarp, which is probably 30 to 40 paces right of the right field line, and gets out of play. It is gusting in Lansing here tonight.
Second baseman Angeles, first baseman McCall return to their positions. The deal. Swing and a miss. Off speed strikes out Javier. The first strikeout for Harris.
Now his changeups have looked good. A couple of times getting some foolish swings from these Colonels, and that's a nice second out and big strikeout to help ease the burden here for Harris.
Now Will Holland. Back-to-back walks. Fedko and Gray drew them. Then Morales the flyout. Javier the strikeout. Fedko's at third, Gray at first. The Colonels trail 1-0 in the second. On the first pitch to Holland, the center fielder. He swings and misses. Strike one. Now Holland is batting 262 through 40 games, with 5 doubles, 3 triples, and 3 home runs. He has pop, he has great speed. Second baseman Angeles is back and to his right. The deal. Very high, fastball from Harris for ball one. The runner at first base, Gray, 4-for-7 in attempting stolen bases this year. Harris is break even. Drops a curveball in across the outside corner. And strike two call. When that Harris curveball is going well, it's an equalizer. And now can he get Holland and strand Fedko and Gray? There goes Gray, the pitch, a curveball bouncing in. Kept up there near the home plate circle by Soderstrom, but stolen base number 5 for Gray, taking second.
I like that, though. That's a good pitch right there. Go right back to it, but lower it out of the zone. See if you can get Holland to chase. He didn't, but a good block by Soderstrom behind the plate.
Well, 2 balls and 2 strikes and a single by Holland would likely give the Colonels the lead. Here's the pitch. Fastball swung at and missed. He struck him out. Hogan Harris blows away Will Holland, finishes off the top of the second inning with back-to-back strikeouts, and strands the walks at second and third. To the bottom of the first inning, it remains.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go Nuts.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
It's 1-0 Locos, last of the second inning from Jackson Field. David Festa's first pitch, taken by Gabriel Maciel for a called strike one. Maciel, the former Colonel, followed by Aribiel Angeles and then Patrick McCall. 6-7-8 in the Lansing order against the Cedar Rapids Northpaw. Dealing, a fastball fouled off. And it's 0-2. Maciel so far hitting .364 in 14 games with Lansing, albeit that has been injury abbreviated. Just back off a stint on the IL. 0-2. He swings and lines it. Center field. Down for a base hit. Will Holland scoops it up in the shadow of the video board and lobs it forward. About a leadoff single from Maciel on an 0-2 pitch from Festa. Gabriel Maciel is now 17 for 45. 17 hits, 8 walks, and here he is in game number 15, selected out of the Twins organ last December. Up steps Aribiel Angeles now. First pitch, taking inside ball one. Angeles, the number 7 hitter in the order, the second baseman out of Igwe, Dominican Republic. And the native Brazilian Maciel at first, a threat to run. Breaking ball, strike call. And the count is 1-1 at the letters inside corner. Angeles is batting 263 through 45 games with 46 hits. Righty, righty. Pickoff though to first, barely not in time. Maciel got back in. Festa sets high, delivers. A fastball fought off, foul at home plate, strike two. Those 46 hits for Angeles, that is the most on this Lansing squad. Mentioned Maciel plucked out of the Twins organization. Angeles was in the Padres organization and acquired via trade in very early April. The deal, a breaking ball swatted foul over the screen on the right side. That was filthy, betting down and away from him. And with his great bat-to-ball skills, just sliced it out of play. It was Angeles, along with Adrian Martinez, acquired for Sean Manaea and minor leaguer Aaron Holiday. Pickoff out of first, Maciel is caught. Zabata runs him toward second, delivers to second baseman Prado, pump fakes, now gives it to the pitcher Festa covering at first base, tags at Maciel at number one. The pickoff and the caught stealing, 1-3 to 4-1.
Well, it's something we haven't seen a ton of over the last month, but we remember early on when we started this season, the Lugnuts struggled getting picked off, and sometimes that's going to happen when you start to get a little bit more aggressive on the base paths.
And now here comes the 1-2. Touch, but two balls and two strikes for Angeles. In the Lansing pen, the right-hander Stevie Emanuels is warming up for the third inning. Here's the toss. Angeles strokes it on the ground. One hop for shortstop Javier. Throws to first and received by Sabato with a stretch at the end. Out number two. So the way that Adam Jackson and I divide up innings, I usually take the first two. And by usually, that means every day unless something unusual has occurred, at which point I say, Adam, I've got no voice. You're on the call. But I take the first two innings, and then Adam takes over in the third. And what that means is, Adam, you have never had the chance to call a Hogan Harris pitch this year.
That's true.
Patrick McCall bats left. 1-0 Locos. McCall takes ball one high. Sorry.
Maybe in a little bit, yeah. I'll get to call.
Leave him out there just for one more batter. The toss. McCall swings and misses. Good off speed. Ball at a strike on the first baseman hitting eighth. The 6'6 left-handed batter against the 6'6 right-handed starter for the Colonels, Festa. The windup, the toss, swing and a miss at a good change. One ball and two strikes. Two outs, nobody on. It's the bottom of the second. Locos one, Colonels nothing. Hogan Harris two, scoreless. The pitch, swing and a miss. Festa strikes at McCall. And that'll do it for the second inning. Three strikeouts for David Festa. Onward to the third. Adam Jaxa gets the call, and we'll see who's on the mound. Hey, guess what? Here comes Hogan Harris. It's 1-0 Locos.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the
safety. When you hear something that doesn't seem right,
you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the Corporate Sales Manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the action. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Well, good evening and welcome back to Jackson Field. The first pitch of the third is a little bit wide, ball one. It is Hogan Harris that comes back out to face 9-1-2, Charles Mack, Anthony Prado, and Christian Encarnacion Strand. Lefty throws. On the ground is second, shuffling to his right, Angele scoops it up, wings to first, one out in the third.
Like he was taking infield practice.
No problem there, and good on by Hogan Harris to start this game. Outside of a couple of walks, he's done a nice job. Did give up the base hit to Christian Encarnacion Strand, but that's going to do it. Two pitches into the third, so he goes two and a third today, but believe it or not, that the longest outing for Hogan this year. He's made it to the second inning three times now and to the third inning for the first time, but as they continue to ease him back injury and of course the COVID year, he will go two and a third tonight, only give up one hit, one walk, no runs, with a couple of strikeouts.
39 pitches, 24 strikes. Adam, if I may, everyone deserves a great smile. And Grewball Orthodontics is here to help you, Lugnuts fans. Grewball Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, anyone can get the smile they've always wanted with our affordable payment plans. With one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Lansing area, we love to see Lugnuts fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourgrewballorthodontics.com today and book your free consults.
All right, thanks so much, Jesse. Clark Road in DeWitt, about 10 minutes north of Lansing. Head up there and see our fine folks.
And then drop by, see Adam. I don't know. Maybe bring him some food.
I'm in the neighborhood over there. All right, so that's going to do it for Hogan Harris, as we mentioned, through two and a third. And into the game comes Stevie Emanuels. Hogan Harris, essentially the opener, and Emanuels had a really good performance a couple of stints ago, Jesse, but really struggled the last time out in Beloit.
You know, he pitched on the razor's edge, but in the first two innings against the Sky Carp, he didn't allow any runs. Then in the third inning, he gave up a sac fly. It was the fourth inning, that's where things really came apart. They started hitting him hard, and he departed just two-thirds of an inning into that fourth, allowing four runs. And that's all it took, because the Lugnuts fell in that game 5-1. But the appearance before that, 4 1/3 scoreless against the Great Lakes slugging order. Let's see how he does against these Colonels power hitters.
Lansing Locos in front, 1-0, thanks to an RBI groundout in that first inning. The first pitch from Emanuels. Kicked back off the netting, strike one on Anthony Prado, the leadoff man tonight. That run brought in by Austin Beck. As he grounded out, Drew Swift came in to score as the top of the order. Drew first blood with a couple of hits. Three tonight so far through the Locos. A one. Slashed foul down the right field side and pushing over there towards the Sparrow Stairs. The wind is whipping out to right. That American flag is getting its work on. Work out on up on the flagpole and right. 16 mile an hour gusts tonight on this Friday evening in Lansing. The 0-2. That's down low and got away from Tyler Soderstrom, 1-2.
Makes me curious what a Pat McCall Ephus would do in wind like this.
Ugh.
turned into a knuckleball.
Yeah, exactly. Be impossible to hit. 1-2. High and tight. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Prado, who grounded out to short on the first pitch of the game. Got underway right on time at 7:05 in the Eastern time zone. Light blue against the Reds tonight. The 2-2. A little bit wide. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Lansing with the Locos uniforms, with Locos in gold across the light blue turquoise look, with the blue and gold caps and white pants. 3-2. Low and outside with the slider, and it's 4 straight balls after he got ahead 0-2. And Emmanuel's first batter face is a walk allowed. As for the Colonels, they go with those red tops, black batting helmets, and gray pants with the blue socks. Emmanuel's now faces Christian Encarnacion Strand, and the pitch is high outside, 1-1.
They wore these red jerseys the first 2 games of the series. They tried the road grays yesterday. They lost, and so it's right back to the Reds.
An ode to their parent club, the Minnesota Twins, with the look tonight. Throw back to first. Sliding in safely is Prado. Minnesota has those overlapping letters on their uniforms, the TC, and here it's the CR for Cedar Rapids, as the C goes between the two. MILB.TV, you can see it perfectly clear. The 1-0 lifted out towards right, but carrying on the right field side into the bleachers once more. You're going to see a lot of foul balls go that way with the wind tonight.
Were you like me when I was a kid? I'd see the TC from Minnesota and I'd think, there's no C anywhere in Minnesota Twins.
I was just about to say that. The 1-1. Down low. 2 balls and a strike, but it's for Twin Cities.
That's right. And now, with the reorganization, so the Twins play in Minneapolis. St. Paul was independent, and now the St. Paul Saints are the AAA team.
2-1. That's up high. 3 balls and a strike.
Ball 2 was really close from Emmanuel's. He thought he should have gotten the call. And it's, you think about it, if he gets it, it's 1-2. That changes this count.
The pitch hammered out to left field. Maciel running to his right, and that ball's off the base of the wall, comes back to Maciel, rounding third and stopping is Prado into second, sliding feet first is Encarnacion Strand. Another extra base hit from the slugger. He's 2-for-2 tonight with a single and now a double.
It's a 3-1 fastball, and he turned on it. Fortunate thing for Lansing that he didn't hit it out. Because where he hit it, that's one of the easiest spots in this ballpark to hit a home run. Just did not get it high enough.
And now Stevie Emmanuel's right into a jam. Walk and a double, and Aaron Sabato steps in. The pitch. That slides away, 1-1. 1-0 Locos in the top of the third. Lansing trying to take a 3-1 lead in this series heading into the weekend. Good crowd on hand tonight. Emmanuel's pitch. That's down low. 2 balls, no strikes. He's just getting behind batters. 0-2, but then threw 4 straight balls. He got behind Encarnacion Strand 3-1. He's behind Sabato 2-0. The pitch. There's his strike that jumps in there. 2-1.
Good looking curve.
Emmanuel's that fastball, curve, slider, changeup mix. Righty on righty. Second and third, one away. The pitch. Up high, and it's 3-1. And the fastball is just not locating right now.
I feel like he's not getting on top of it, that he's on the side of everything.
The fifth round selection in 2020 throws. Out to right field, down the line. That ball is fair as it one hops the wall and is fielded by Austin Beck. In to score comes Prado, right behind him, Encarnacion Strand. It's a 2-run single, and Cedar Rapids jumps in front 2-1 in the third.
we have seen the explosiveness of this Colonels offense. And that's what has made the pitching performances when Lansing has kept them down. The bullpen effort yesterday, Jeff Criswell a couple of days prior to that, and even Hogan Harris, who seemed like he was fighting his command a little bit, but he got through it. He pitched around the Encarnacion Strand single, and then he pitched around a couple of walks to open up the second. These Colonels can pounce, and they have ambushed Emmanuels in this third inning.
And they certainly have, and now Don Schulze is out there with the entire infield to try and slow down Stevie Emmanuels as he tries to just find an out. First three have reached a walk, a double, and a single. And all of a sudden, Cedar Rapids, a 2-1 lead. It almost seems like scoring first in this series has not been the way to go. Lansing will tell you that. Their two wins in this series, they gave up the opening run. Cedar Rapids, 1-for-2, scoring first in all three games prior to tonight. All right, into the box, Kyler Fedko steps as the wind howls in Lansing. The pitch, slider in there. Big line of fans outside of Jackson Field before this one got underway. Gates open at 6 o'clock for that 7:05 first pitch. A souvenir in hand for the early arrivers. The 0-1 popped up, in on the hand, second base side, tailing out to shallow right. Anjeles goes back and makes the catch over his left shoulder. Austin Beck right behind him just in case. And there, the first out for Stevie Emmanuels, the second in this third inning. Tonight's promotion of Vladdy Jr. bobblehead, and attached to it a home run counter. So you can count along with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. up with the Blue Jays as he continues to slug home runs. Here's Seth Gray. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Was it what? First 1,000 tonight that got one?
Yeah, I believe so. Presented by Sparrow.
Two really long lines right at the gates when things got opened up at 6 o'clock tonight. Fans pumped to get the Vladdy souvenir. On the grounds, hit towards second. And Anjeles backhands and flips it over to Swift at second, and that'll do it. Well, no home runs given up in that third inning, but two runs do come in to score thanks to a double from Encarnacion Strand, and then Sabato delivers the two-run single. It's 2-1 Cedar Rapids heading to the bottom of the third.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Lugnuts now facing a deficit. That'd be the Lansing Locos, actually, down 2-1 as we bring you back for the bottom of the third. And the second pitch is down low, ball one. Alex Campos making his debut for the Lansing Locos and the Lansing Lugnuts as he comes in tonight. Already started a double play earlier in this game, a 5-4-3 defensively. Third pitch. That's down low. And it's two balls and a strike. He's coming up here from the Arizona Complex League. 22-year-old out of Venezuela. Festa throws. High chopper over towards short on two hops. Waiting on it is Javier throws to first in time. Sabato grabs, and that'll do it for the former Seattle Mariner and now turned Oakland Athletic, Alex Campos. One away in the third. For Drew Swift, this was the part of the card that delivered the first run of the game for the Locos, trailing 2-1 in the third. The first pitch home. Swift takes a slide piece in there, strike one.
Right side of the infield, Adam, wide open, and he's done so well this year in poking balls through the right side.
The 0-1. That's outside, one ball, one strike. Now Prado is shifted all the way to second. You have to have two infielders to the right of second and two to the left of second. So Prado right there on the Mendoza line, if there is that imaginary line out there at second base. 1-0. Swing and a miss. One ball, two strikes. He is on the fringe of the grass, about two steps to the right of second in the outfield. And then Sabato over at first. Next pitch down low. Two balls, two strikes on Drew Swift, who's batting 278 with the home run and six driven in this year. High black socks pulled up. Light blue Locos uni and the white pants as he cocks the bat behind his back shoulder. 2-2. Outside, three balls, two strikes. Swift has kind of become the everyday leadoff man for the Locos. He had switched it around a few different times earlier in the season. 3-2 pitch, inside, ball four, and Swift 2-for-2 and getting on tonight. It's something that we wondered if Swift, with the bat coming around, if he would be the guy this year to potentially lead off, and he's taken a hold of things. The next guy behind him that's done it the most, Aribio Angeles, has led off 12 times this year. Gabriel Maciel, the next at eight times this year. Drew Swift leading off for a 20th time this season. Here's Johnny Butler. Mr. Barrels takes the pitch down low, ball one. 2-1. Cedar Rapids leading in the third, and a quick visit out to the mound for Charista, the right-hander for the Twins. Now they've just got some great arms in their organization. And Festa, another one out of Seton Hall. He pitched for the Pirates from 2019 to 2021. And before that, came over from Verona, New Jersey. Throws over to first, to tag on the back of Swift. And he gets in safely.
Adam, can you name the Shakespearean play that takes place in Verona, Italy?
I'm going to go with Not a Chance.
No, it's not that one. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Runner takes off for second. Throw is wide. Swift in, feet first with a steal. Another reason why Drew Swift leads off. He is excellent at swiping bags, and he now in scoring position with his sixth swipe this year in seven attempts.
It is just so beautiful to appreciate a guy named Swift that fast on the base paths.
That seems like poetry. Maybe Romeo and Juliet. The 2-0. That's on the outside corner. Strike one. 2-1 Cedar Rapids in the bottom of the third, but the Locos threatening with one out and a runner at second. The pitch. Outside. Three balls and a strike. Festa, an ERA of 1.65 this year. He started down in A ball and then has moved up as he was promoted to Cedar Rapids on May 16th. This is his first start at Cedar Rapids. 3-1 in there with the fastball, strike two. It's his second year of pro ball, and Festa appeared out of the bullpen all last year and now has started this year, and he's had tremendous numbers at A ball, and so now makes his first start up here at high A. 3-2. A little bit wide to Butler. Good eye. And there are two walks given up by Festa.
Adam, I want to bring you back to yesterday. Drew Swift, Johnny Butler, top two batters in the order. Yesterday, each one singled, each one drew two walks, each one scored two runs. And here they are today. Each one has singled, each one has walked.
Now what can Tyler Soderstrom do? Struck out in his first at-bat. The pitch. That's up high, ball one. Lansing, nine singles last night. They've got two more singles tonight in Swift and Butler, as Jesse just mentioned. Make that three, because Maciel added one as well. Maybe an extra base hit in store for the big fella. 1-0. Checked on it. Did he go? Yes. Jackson, the second base umpire, field umpire tonight, said Soderstrom couldn't hold up. That's what we've seen these last couple nights specifically. Three strikeouts last night. One more today, chasing some pitches outside of the zone. 1-1. Swing and a miss as that one was wide of the plate. And it's 1-2. Now, what makes Soderstrom such a great hitter is he makes adjustments. Three strikeouts last night, but came back with two late singles, including a two-run single late in the game to give the Lugnuts some cushion. 1-2. Swing and a miss on the change. And Soderstrom frustrated with himself as he walks back to the dugout with a strikeout for the second time tonight. Two away.
That's good pitching. Straight changeup on 1-2. Going to be a strike whether he swung at it or not. But it's David Festa winning the guessing game.
How do you like a changeup at 88 miles an hour? But that shows you that Festa can run it up there in the 90s with the fast one. There is the fastball at 97 in on the hands on Austin Beck, and that kicked off, I believe, the umpire, or maybe
it did.
Missed. Charles Mack missed it, and I think there was a mix-up in signs there between Mack and Festa, and that one just straight hit on Nathan Diedrich. A lot of kudos right now as he's back up and looks like he's okay.
Head athletic trainer for Lansing, Jake Ruthier, was rushing down to the steps to see if his services were needed. I mean, that caught him flush.
1-0 pitch. Beck takes a pitch in there, strike one. 2-1, Colonels in front in the third, but Lansing threatening with runners at first and second thanks to a couple of walks to Swift with a stolen base and Butler at first. The pitch to Beck instead is a turnaround. Look back at Swift. Drew Swift drawing the eyes of pitchers in this league with his speed when he gets on. Base hit scores him, especially with two outs. 1-1. Another slide in there for strike two. Two good sliders on Austin Beck for strikes.
And it's a short slider. Does not have too much movement to it. So it's more like a cut fastball.
Yeah, it looks like a fastball, and you think it's a fastball, but then it moves, but then it stays in the zone for a strike. Righty on righty, the 1-2. That's down low, bounced around. Mack has it and keeps it in front up the first base side. Swift didn't quite get a great read on it, so can't take an extra bag. It's two balls, two strikes on Austin Beck. 220 hitter, seven home runs. He's driven in 20, would love to get number 21 here and try and tie this score. The pitch home. On the ground, through the right side, base hit, rolling to right. Around third, here comes Drew Swift. The throw is late up the line. Swift scores standing up. We're tied at two. RBI single, Austin Beck.
Let's begin with Beck, because that's a tough pitch from David Festa. It's hard, it's down, and he stuck out the bat and poked it through that open right side. Remember, Cedar Rapids has been shifting the second baseman to his right up the middle. So Beck on a 2-2 protecting, doing well with it. And then after that, it's the speed of Drew Swift. Fedco gets to it in plenty of time, Adam. It's the windmill, and Drew Swift doesn't even have to slide as he scores.
And the singles continue to come for the Locos. Four more singles tonight after nine last night. They don't need the extra base hits, though, just taking what the defense is giving them and the alignments. And Beck, as we saw Swift do earlier, And as we saw Butler do earlier, just punching it through the right side of that infield where the hole was.
I was thinking about Austin Beck last year and Beck this year. Beck last year, we might have seen him strike out. We might have seen him get under it. The approach would have been off. He told me he worked so hard on the offseason on his approach and how he battled, and two strikes. Remember, he took the pitch before that, a filthy breaking ball down, and then just sticking out the bat, making contact, and good things happened.
Now Lawrence Butler's turn as he stirs the bat in front of his helmet. The pitch. That's low and outside. Ball one.
I want to go back 2 days ago. Lansing fell 10-2. You remember those two runs were Austin Beck driving and Drew Swift both times. Same thing has happened today.
Top of this order has been clutch for the Nuts the last few nights. 1-0. Swing and a miss. Good change at 87. Butler over the top of it. One ball, one strike on the lanky lefty. A 21-year-old, 4-for-10 in this series coming into tonight. Has a strikeout swinging in the first. Next pitch, swings and misses. 1-2. Butler out of Atlanta, Georgia. Sixth round pick in 2018 out of Westlake High School. 1-2 pitch. Low and outside. Two balls, two strikes. Johnny Butler is at second. Austin Beck is at first. Lawrence Butler is at the plate. The three Bs trying to come up with some more runs as we're squared at two in the third. Festus at the righty, throws. Low and outside, good patience from Butler. It's with two outs, runners should be in motion on this pitch. Butler leads this team in walks with 25, and he's drawn a ton of these full counts. There go the runners, the 3-2 swung on and missed. And that's going to do it for the Locos in the third. Butler couldn't quite lay off that pitch out of the zone, which he had done previous in that at-bat. But Lansing does strike to tie the score. An RBI single from Beck scores Drew Swift. We head to the fourth. Two's apiece between the Colonels and the Locos.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
What a great game we've had so far at Jackson Field. The Locos and the Colonels battling squared at two through three innings. And we bring you back for the fourth. Stevie Emanuels trying to have a cleaner full half inning as he works in the fourth. Righty on righty, pitch one. Loops in there, breaking ball in, strike one on the inner half of the plate. Good pitch by Emanuels to open up this fourth inning. Stevie comes set from the stretch, and the pitch home. Lifted out to center field, running left on Butler, but he gets over there in time, makes the belt high grab on the run, and there's one away in the fourth. Well, this is a much better start for Stevie Emanuels. Remember, we talked about it. He was getting behind batters in that third inning. Gave up the double to Encarnacion Strand. Sabato then the two-run single after the walk to Prado. Those are the top three guys in the order for a reason. They are tough to get out. Works 6, 7, and 8 here in the fourth. The first pitch. Bouncing ball towards short. Swift waits on it after a couple hops. Shuffles, throws to first. Chest high grab by McCall. Easy peasy for number seven, Drew Swift. Two away. He just sticks out defensively, just like Brett Harris, who's been promoted already this year to AA Midland. With his glove, when a ball goes to the left side of the infield and Swift or Harris is behind it, you have a ton of confidence they're going to make the play with ease. Will Holland stands in the way of a 1-2-3 frame. And the first pitch, breaking ball, tags the outside corner, strike one. 2-2 our score in the top of the fourth. Game 4 of 6 in this series. The pitch. Check swing. He did offer, according to home plate umpire Nathan Diedrich. And Will Holland behind, no balls, two strikes. He struck out facing Hogan Harris in his first at-bat tonight. Emmanuels tucks that glove inside his left shoulder. Now comes set. The pitch home. Low and outside. 1-2. Emmanuel's working quickly. A pitch home. Off the end of the bat, back up the middle. Swept up by Angeles on the run. Throws back across his body, and McCall gets it in time. A. Uribiel Angeles. Well done at second, and it's a 1-2-3 frame on a couple of groundouts and a lineout. We head to the home half of the fourth, tied at 2 at Jackson Field.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Well, thank you so much for spending your Friday evening with us. We're coming to you live from Jackson Field, the Michigan State Capitol, right between Cedar and Larch Street. And the Locos in those turquoise blues tonight, tied up with the Colonels. They're in the Road Reds, 2-2 in the bottom of the fourth place. And Patrick McCall, 6-7-8, due up in this fourth inning against David Festa, the righty. He turns and throws. Lifted out of play, third base side, into the sun. Strike one on Maciel, who had a base hit to lead off the second. You know, I think it's about time that we do some trivia in this fourth inning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a nightly activity we enjoy. The 0-1. That's outside. 1-1. Do you remember what the promotion is tonight, Jesse?
I do.
Some guy named Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I believe,
heard
being celebrated. 1-1. This is sent the other way, and it's a base hit up the gap. Running to his right is Holland to cut it off. Maciel loses his helmet. He's sprinting to second. Head first dive into second. It's a double for Maciel. Great hustle out of the box. He dirties the uni, loses the helmet, but he's got a double, his second hit tonight.
Adam, he found another gear halfway between first and second base as he realized in center field Holland had gotten rid of it in a hurry. He had hit his cutoff man, and so Maciel somehow found that next gear, and boy, he went horizontal into second. Electric.
Now the first pitch to Eurybio Angeles is in there, strike one. Locos trying to take the lead back, tied at two in the bottom of the fourth. Angeles 0 for 1 tonight with a ground out to short in his first at bat. The pitch home. Swing and a miss, strike two. All right, Jesse, do you remember how many home runs Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit with the Nuts in 2017?
Is this the trivia question?
It's not. I'm just curious if you remember.
I'll say four.
The 1-1 pitch. This is lifted out to center field, and it is caught on the run by Holland. Quickly gets it back in. Good swing by Angeles, but it held up, and there's the first out of this fourth inning. It was seven.
Seven.
Very close. Now, the trivia question plays off of that. I would like to know, which team did Vladdy hit the most home runs off of out of those seven? That is tonight's trivia question. So please send us your responses. Patrick McCall digs in. First pitch is in there on the outside part of the plate. Strike one. You can hit us on Twitter at Adam Jaxa, at Jay Goldstrass, or the email that Jesse monitors oh so closely each evening. Send them in there, please. The 0-1. That's outside. One ball, one strike. That's Jay Goldstrass at LansingLugnuts.com. Or, you know, there's the celebs that do have Jesse's phone number. You can go ahead and text in.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you're right. Give him a call. Here's Pat McCall. The pitch is low and outside. Two balls and a strike. But tonight's trivia question, which team in the Midwest League did Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit his most home runs off of before he was promoted? And if you're wondering, seven's kind of a low number. Well, he was only here for a couple of months before, at the time, he went up to High A Dunedin. The 2-1. On the ground the opposite way. To his right is Javier at short. Throws high to first, but snatched by Sabato just before McCall gets there. Two away. Maciel stays put at second.
That said, isn't it interesting that Austin Beck has already matched that total of seven, and Tyler Soderstrom has already surpassed it when it comes to Lansing?
Yeah.
On the other side, Christian Encarnacion Strandismore.
It shows you the type of power that the Lugnuts have here in 2022. And certainly the Midwest League, a ton of good hitters again. First pitch in there to Alexander Campos for a first pitch strike.
Strikes me too. It's so interesting that scouts have to look at these players and say, here's who they are now. What will they be in 3, 4, 5 years? Let's take even the right-hander Festa, who when he was drafted out of Seton Hall, he wasn't what he is now. He has improved just in the span of less than a year in the Twins organization.
The 0-1 pitch. On the ground towards third, weakly hit, scooped up to his left by Gray. Throws, Sabato can see it, and he snags it. We've seen that from Brett Harris this year. There's Gray doing it, and the one-hop bounce pass works in time for Sabato. And that will do it for the Nuts as they leave the leadoff double from Maciel stranded at second. Let's head to the fifth, and Jesse Goldberg-Stressler retakes the play-by-play reins, tied at two at Jackson Field.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game with Adam Jaxa. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Yeah.
Tie game 2-2, Locos and Colonels through four innings from Jackson Field. The righty Stevie Emanuels toes the rubber for the fifth against Mac, Prado, and Encarnacion Strand. For the Cedar Rapids Colonels, begins with the left-handed hitting catcher batting ninth. Charles Mack takes ball one low and in. I am Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Adam Jaxa. For the Colonels, two runs in the third, and for the Locos of Lance. The pitch from Emanuels. Swing and a miss. Good off speed. Ball and a strike on Mack, who grounded out to second base to lead off the third inning as the last batter for Hogan Harris to face today. The Lugnut starting pitcher faced nine. The deal. Mack takes the breaking ball down and right through Soderstrom to the backstop. Two balls, one strike. Against Harris, these Colonels went 1-for-7 with a single and two walks. The one hit came in the first inning, erased on a double play. Two walks came to lead off the second, and they were stranded. Mack fouls back the Emanuels offering to the netting. Good fastball at 96 on the stadium gun. And it's two balls and two strikes. So Harris, 2 1/3 innings, struck out two. And Stevie Emanuels now, his first time through this full order. Fires. Mack lines it right center field. That ball hooks down for a base hit in the alleyway. It goes all the way to the wall. Mack does not have much speed. He's around second base. He's digging for third. There won't be a throw. He slides in with a triple. Charles Mack collects his first triple of the year. Nobody out, top of the fifth, and here comes the top of the order for the Colonels, looking to break this 2-2 tie. For Mack, that is his fifth career triple in the minor leagues. One in 2018, one in 2019, two last year, and now one this year, so number five. Infield in. Anthony Prado takes ball one upstairs. For Cedar Rapids as a team, that is their 20th triple of the year. That is nine more than Lansing. But when you hit a ball into right center, that is triple's alley here in Michigan State Capitol. Means three bases. Righty deals to righty. Anthony Prado swings and misses. One ball and one strike. So now we can complete 1-9 against Emanuels. 3-for-8 with a walk. The two prior hits, a double by Encarnacion Strand, a two-run single by Aaron Zapata. Prado dribbles one foul off to the left side. One ball and two strikes on the Cedar Rapids second baseman. It was Prado drawing a walk from Emanuels, the first batter that Stevie faced in the top of the third inning with one out. Then Encarnacion Strand doubled him to third, and Zapata singled them both in for Cedar Rapids runs. The 1-2, Prado lifts it, shallow right, down for a base hit, one bounce in front of Beck. In from third, Charles Mack, and it's 3-2 Colonels. Throw into second base, RBI oppo single, Anthony Prado, and that breaks the tie. Nobody out still, here comes Christian Encarnacion Strand, who is singled and doubled today. Today in Lansing franchise history, by the way, I'm going back to 2010. Righty throws to righty. The pitch from Emanuels. Up and inside, ball one. So if you go back 12 years, June 1st, June 2nd, and June 3rd of 2010. Here we are now, June 3rd, 2022. It was this same matchup, Cedar Rapids at Lansing. And Encarnacion Strand takes ball two, low. And that Cedar Rapids team featured a youngster on them by the name of Mike Trout. Trout came in hitting well. He exited hitting even better. The pitch taken for a called strike by Encarnacion Strand. In game one of the series, won by the Colonels 5-4, though the Lugnut scored three runs in the bottom of the ninth, and the future major leaguer Ryan Goins was thrown out at the plate to end the game. It was dramatic. Mike Trout leading off. How about 2-for-4? Trout homered. And two steals. Runner moves, a throw down to second base, not in time. Angeles tried to deke Prado. Got Prado to take a step away from the bag, but then he went right back. He's in there safely with the steal.
Angeles, man.
Three balls, one strike, the count, and Encarnacion Strand. I love the idea
Some great acting. You're talking about Romeo and Juliet earlier. How about Anales, man? Give him a part. Sold it well.
Here comes the 3-1. Encarnacion Strand takes the breaking ball down the middle. Strike two called. Mike Trout also, by the way, in that series opener, two steals. They were his 27th and 28th steals of the year. His home run was his 6th, and it came off another future major leaguer, would you believe? His current teammate, Ryan Tepera. 3-2, and Encarnacion Strand fouls it off the right side. Gene Segura was also on that Cedar Rapids team. The Colonels with the win improved to 34-18 that first game. The Lugnuts were good. 29-22, their record fell. Well, the second game of the series, the Lugnuts struck back and won it 8-6. The pitch, runner moves for third, swing and a miss, strike three, and the throw by Soderstrom goes into left field. Anthony Prado trots home. 4-2 Cedar Rapids on the throwing error by Soderstrom. Encarnacion Strand is the first out, and the first strikeout, though, for Emanuels. One out with the bases clear for Aaron Sabato. Anthony Prado, an RBI single, steal of second, steal of third in E2. Soderstrom commits his third error of the year. Prado swipes his 12th bag. And now Aaron Sabato waits. Righty throws to righty. Outside corner, strike called.
You know, you go back to 2010 and go back in history. We say prehistoric times and BC and AD. Well, can we start a notion in baseball to go pre-pitch clock times?
Yes, before this year. Swing and a miss by Sabato, strike two. Although, there was a pitch clock elsewhere before it arrived in the Midwest League and other leagues this season.
Nah.
But yes.
We weren't aware of it.
You're right. By the way, Mike Trout, the second game of the series, was 4-for-5 for third game, the 0-2. Breaking ball called strike three. Back-to-back strikeouts for Emanuels. Two outs in the top of the fifth. In the final game of that three-game set, Cedar Rapids at Lansing, Mike Trout, the leadoff hitter in the order once again, the starting center fielder, was 1-for-4. Oh, by the way, he scored 3 runs. He knocked in a run. He stole another base. He drew a walk. Cedar Rapids scored 5 in the first, 1 in the second, 4 in the third. They removed him early. They romped. The pitch is outside. 1 ball, no strikes, and Kyler Fedko. So whenever anybody asks me, Adam, who's the best major leaguer I ever saw here in Lansing, Michigan, I go, this is too easy, but you have to understand how good Mike Trout has always been. Fedko takes a called strike on the outer edge.
Can't believe somehow that guy just didn't skip all of minor league baseball and go right to the Angels.
Right? But on June 3rd, he was still in Cedar Rapids, and he was hitting .373. The pitch just a little bit outside and up. OPS 1,010 as he departed Lansing, Michigan. Wow. The other notable thing about that game, by the way, on June the 3rd, 2010, Lugnuts and Colonels. 2-1 pitch from Manuels. A ground ball shot towards short. Ground by shortstop Swift. Throws to first. Got him. Side retired. Cedar Rapids had a reliever named Tyler Carrer. Adam, he walked 9 in 2 1/3 innings.
Oh, my goodness.
In a Cedar Rapids win. Let's go to the bottom half of this fifth inning. Cedar Rapids has just scored 2 on 2 hits. Nobody stranded. The Colonels are looking for the win. They lead in Lansing by a 4-2 score.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
That doesn't seem right. You can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now,
Let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Top of the order, time again for the Lansing Locos. Swift Butler Soderstrom against righty David Festa. And Festa and the Cedar Rapids Colonels are leading in Lansing by a 4-2 score thanks to two runs in the top half of this fifth. He deals to Drew Swift on the first pitch taken for a called strike one. Righty versus righty. Swift has scored each of the Locos' runs. Knocked in by Austin Beck both times. The pitch, swing and a miss. And a weak cut at that, he was fooled. Nothing and two. Single in the first by Swift, came in on a Beck RBI ground out to second. Walk in the third by Swift, singled home by Beck in the third. And 0-2. Low and away. One ball and two strikes. For David Festa, the righty for the Cedar Rapids Colonels has struck out five. He has whipped Tyler Soderstrom and Lawrence Butler twice apiece. He issues. Low and away and all the way to the backstop. Two balls and two strikes. Pretty consistent each time through the order. And Lansing has gone two complete times around. Swift and the batter. Soderstrom and Butler have struck out both times. Festa's pitch. Inside. 3-2 on Swift. So in the first inning and the third innings, we saw Swift, Butler, Soderstrom, Beck, and Butler all bat. In the second and the fourth, we saw Maciel, Angeles, McCall. The pitch, set in the air, off the right side, twisting foul. The one difference is that Alex Campos led off the bottom of the third inning because Festa faced the minimum in the second, but then Campos batted to end the bottom of the fourth inning, and hence Swift leading off here in the fifth. With a 3-2 pitch. Hits it in the air, center field. Holland comes in the left center with the catch. And they keep Swift off the bases this time. One away. The batter now, Johnny Butler, who is singled and walked. Locos trailing 4-2 against Cedar Rapids. And action has begun in the Colonel's pan up the left side. Adam Jaxa by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. The righty warming up is the 6'9 Oakland Golden Grizzly, Tyler Palm. Johnny Butler shows bunt, pulls back, and takes ball one. We saw Palm on Tuesday, first game of the series. After today, two more games to go, Colonels and Locos. Festa brings it. Butler lines it foul to the left, onto the rooftop. One ball, one strike. Shortstop Javier is up the middle against the left-handed batter. Outfield deep. Pitch on its way. Backdoor breaking ball and a strike called. 1-2. I was speaking with Thomas Breach, the voice of the Colonels, earlier today about David Festa. Time called. Ball got away from the bullpen for Cedar Rapids in left field. Just talking with Thomas about how Festa threw 92, 93 miles an hour in college. And here he is now, touching, adding 10 pounds in the offseason. Festa deals. Butler takes low and away. Two balls and two strikes. We're going to see Blake Beers start tomorrow, Adam. And I think he's another great example of a guy who, if you just saw him in college, you wouldn't understand how effective he can be. Butler takes ball three in.
Well, there's still a lot of room for this young man to fill out. He's a slender build, and you wonder what he's done in the last couple of years, what he can turn into.
A 3-2. Butler swings and grounds it right side. Grabbed by second baseman Prado. A lob over to Sabato for out number two. And now Tyler Soderstrom. Last time up for Soderstrom, Adam, you were talking about his adjustments. We'll see what happens now. 0-2, two swinging strikeouts against Festa. Two outs, nobody on. Colonels leading 4-2 in the fifth. First pitch taken for a called strike one. Inside corner. Left-handed batter, righty on the hill. Third baseman Gray is playing in the shortstop hole. Righty deals. Off-speed, swung at and missed. Nothing and two. This feels like those first two plate appearances. David Festa. Out of Seton Hall, the 13th rounder last year. Let's fly the 0-2. A fastball is grounded on the right side. Grabbed by Sabato, the first baseman, and then he drops it. And Soderstrom is on. Aaron Sabato was there. He intercepted it in front of the second baseman, Prado, and then simply going to transition glove to throwing hand. He dropped it onto the ground next to him. Sabato commits his fourth error of the year. That extends things for runs. First pitch, inside, and nearly nipped him.
I think Sabato just needed to flip his glove over. He ended up going basket style all the way over across his body to his right, but the ball came to him so quickly he didn't have time to flip his mitt over the other way and then lost it.
4-2 Cardinals. Beck takes ball two inside. Two outs in the fifth. Soderstrom on. This inning continuing when it should have been done. 53rd error this year committed by Cedar Rapids. Nine more than Lansing. Beck 1-for-2. RBI ground out, RBI single. Right-hander against right-hander. The pitch. Swings and grounds it foul, off and to the left. Adam, you and I have talked about how his swings have gotten better and better. It was that brief cold spell. Came over him in May. Here's Festa's pitch. Hit in the air, twisting down the right side, but fell. That ball's traveling a mighty way, and it gets hung up in the netting that protects all of the cars driving northbound on Larch. A couple of fans swing themselves right into that screen to knock it free. Just the power of Austin Beck. That was home run distance. Two balls and two strikes, though. Festa looks for his sixth strikeout. The set. The pitch. Beck chops towards short. Grabbed by Javier. Wings across to Sabato, fighting the sun to receive out number three. His error does not hurt the Colonels. Festa's through five, and the Locos trail Cedar Rapids 4-2 to the sixth inning from Lansing.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe, tell someone who's being abused, and you want to talk but you're scared, that's OK. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Four to two, Colonels on top as we head to the sixth in Lansing. For the Cedar Rapids, 5-6-7 batters, Seth Gray, Jefferson Morales, and then Wander Javier. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and I'm joined by Adam Jaxa. It's a Copa de la Diversión evening. Copa de la Diversión, right? I could say that a little bit better, cleaner. It's the Fun Cup, and it was introduced some years back. It was all an initiative across minor league baseball saying, look, minor league baseball teams need to connect better to their Spanish-speaking communities. And so it caught on from, I believe, four or five teams to begin. And the Lansing Locos in action here today. A called strike, one to Seth Gray to begin things. Sometimes Lansing has been told in advance there's going to be a Copa game. Pack your Copa uniform. Cedar Rapids is not wearing its Las Cinco Estaciones de Cedar Rapids. A one pitch. Seth Gray takes. Strike two called inside corner. But the alternate identities with the more vibrant colors and the community outreach that it's part of the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. bobblehead giveaway here in Lansing. Great crowd. 0-2. Down and away. Not just that, tonight is going to be a post-game Matthew fireworks show, as will tomorrow night.
First of the year.
Yes, sir. Si, senor. The pitch to Seth Gray. A ground ball foul to the right side. Pre-game interview today was Joshua Wright out of Panama. When they first introduced Copa, the big emphasis as minor league teams were contacted was talk to your players from wherever they might be. For Joshua Wright, Panama, maybe Venezuela, like an Angelo Infante. The pitch, high and outside, 2-2 to Gray. Third baseman Alex Campos, who just joined Lansing from Venezuela. A Rubiel Angeles at second base. From the Dominican Republic, and just say, let's talk about your culture. Let's share with your teammates. Let's share with the community. The pitch. Gray taps it to Angeles. Here he comes in from second, gloving, underhanding to McCall at first. Out number one. Well, that's a different way of getting a Rebiel involved, but it works all the same.
He loves to take that ball off the short hop, and you cringe every time you look because it's such a difficult play, but he makes it look so easy. He's comfortable doing it, and he's going to attack that baseball, get it as soon as possible, and over to first base.
Great hands at the plate, great hands in the field. Jefferson Morales swings and misses the off-speed. Strike one. One out, nobody on top of the sixth. Cedar Rapids is batting up 4-2. Jefferson Morales is from La Victoria, Venezuela. Here's the pitch. Up high. The first year that Lansing had a Copa, had the Copa identity, the Locos, Alejandro Kirk was on the team. And I remember talking with Kirky all about Copa, the Locos, and about Mexico. This pitch is over Morales' head. He was hit in the head earlier in the series by Jeff Criswell. Ducks it for ball two.
Man, that's two right up there on a fastball.
He has a peculiar stance. Feet spread wide apart, knees bent. Righty, righty, 2-1 from Emmanuels. Fastball up and in. They appeal a check swing, but he didn't go. Three balls and a strike. Adam, I want you to watch Jefferson Morales' knees as he gets set up.
It's why that ball's coming towards his head, because he's almost like sitting in a squat position.
It's Jeff Bagwell, but lower. Here's the 3-1. Strike called inside corner. Now, because he crowds the plate, he backs away, saying, that one almost hit me.
Get low, get low, get low.
Morales has been hit by five pitches this year. A payoff. Down and away, bouncing in for ball four. Out a one-out base runner for Cedar Rapids. Wander Javier is coming up next. Colonels leading 4-2, top of the sixth inning. I want to take you and the Oakland Athletics organization back to last night. The level below Lansing, single A Stockton playing in the California League. They've got the A's 2021 first rounder, Max Muncy, and he had himself a ball game. The pitch to Wander Javier. Strike called on the outside corner. Javier from Bonao, Dominican Republic. Max Muncy went 4-for-4 yesterday with two singles and two home runs, two solo shots, and they were hit way out to center and to left center against San Jose. Javier taps this pitch foul off toward the on-deck hitter. Will Holland tried to knock it down with the bat. No balls, two strikes. 4-for-4, two homers for Muncy. Stockton didn't have too much offense, but Luke Anderson, seven scoreless innings, combined with Robin Vasquez and Hunter Bro. On a seven-hit shutout and a 3-0 win. The pitch, down and away, taken for ball one by Javier.
I think that kid's going to be...
I've talked with Alex Jensen, the voice of Stockton, about him. Just about his character, personality. Says he loves him, loves the way that he plays. Works hard. One ball, two strikes. One out, one on. Colonel's up 4-2. The pitch to Wander Javier. Outside for ball two. When it gets to working hard, that's what Adam and I have the ability to see with all these players. Because before you come out to the stadium as a fan, before you get to see them, all the early work that happens before BP. And it's a long, long year. 2-2. Javier rips a base in the left field. Masio on hand to play it as Morales stops as he rounds second. Gabriel gets it into shortstop. Javier has the single. Now there's two on for the Colonels. One out for Will Holland. Max Muncy, the batting average is .233. He has gone through his struggles, but he broke out yesterday. And a big night for Luke Anderson. And the Stockton Ports victorious. That's below the Lugnuts on the ladder. Above Lansing on the organizational ladder in AA, well, the Midland Rockhounds won at Amarillo 9-5, all in a day's work, 9-5. Holland takes ball one up high. Adam Jackson works 9-5, and then he works 5 to midnight. Brett Harris, two more doubles yesterday, plus a walk. The former Lugnut is hitting .478 in AA. Holland takes, breaking ball called a strike.
I think most people in baseball do the 9-5 and then till midnight.
The 9-11 shift. It's Morales at second, Javier at first. Colonels already up by two. The pitch, Holland hits a high fly to left. Marcia back to his left, he waits. He's got the catch. Morales back to second, Javier back to first, two away. Emmanuel's got in on Holland's hands there. And now it brings up Charles. Also from Midland, Logan Davidson, a single and a home run. Shane Selman, a single and a double. Chase Calabrig, 3-for-3 with a walk and three singles. And Jordan Diaz, the native of Colombia, 3-for-5, a single, two more doubles. Charles Mack bats left, taking a called strike in the inside corner. Jordan Diaz is now hitting .299 after an ice-cold start. Midland is hitting. The Rockhounds with the win now 22-26 this year. The righty Emmanuels looks back at the runner at second, then deals. Breaking ball, hooking through for a called strike two.
It's always fun to watch those teams above us, below us, and see the similarities. Max Schumann, our leadoff man last year, leadoff man for the Rockhounds. Drew Swift, probably the leadoff guy next year. And we'll see the youngster probably next year.
Mac lifts it to left. Maciel's got a long run in down the line. He's there. He's got the catch, calling off the aforementioned Swift. And the side retired. I mean, some of those guys, we could see them up there later on this year, depending on how things go. But for now, there with Lansing, and Stevie Emmanuels turns in a scoreless sixth, stranding a walk and a single. It's the Colonels leading 4-2 on our way to the bottom of the sixth inning.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, eat for healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Big Lawrence Butler is going to lead off the bottom of the sixth inning against a pitcher even bigger than him. 6'9", Tyler Palm is out of the Colonel's pen. First pitch, Butler takes it low and in and all the way to the backstop, ball one. Locos trail the Cedar Rapids Colonels and Tyler Palm by a 4-2 score. I am Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, Adam Jackson by my side. Butler Maciel Angeles, 5'6", 7", for the last of the sixth. The pitch, Lawrence Butler chops it over the 6'9 Palm, grabbed by shortstop Javier right of second, throws to first in time. There's one gone. Tyler Palm out of Oakland. So far this year, in 11 appearances, a 4.91 ERA, 14 2/3 innings, 7 walks and 14 strikeouts. Adam, I'm sorry, I just took that right away from you, didn't I?
Not at all. I just wanted to make sure that your statistics were correct.
Thank you. Palm deals. Gabriel Maciel swings and misses strike one. Maciel is singled and doubled. He has two of Lansing's 5 hits in the game. David Festa done after 5. A good showing. The pitch. Maciel chops it right side. Room service out number 2. Final line for Festa. The right-hander out of Seton Hall struck out 5 today. He allowed those 5 hits and 2 runs. Solo tallies in the first and in the third. He walked 2. He is in line to win. Cedar Rapids has a 4-2 lead. And Palm looks for a 1-2-3 home sixth, facing Aribiel Angeles. First pitch, taken low, ball one. By the way, on the Major League scoreboard, Lane Thomas, the former Lansing Lugnut, has homered twice today, his first multi-homer game of his career, playing for the Washington Nationals, who lead 6-2. The pitch, low and away. Two balls, no strikes, and Angeles, who's grounded to short, and he's lined to center. Righty-righty, Palm's pitch. Inside corner, called a strike. Can I say that Palm piloted that ball well?
You sure could if you want to go back about 10 years.
I could do that. I will not make a BlackBerry reference next.
Nextel?
Yeah. What does the pager tell you? Here's the pitch. That's outside. 3 balls and a strike. Page me.
I'll page you later.
Patrick McCall is waiting on deck for Lansing.
I'll send you a scroll after that.
I appreciate it. Send me a passenger pigeon. On the 3-1. Check swing foul, and that lined into the Lansing first base side dugout. And excuse me, 1/4 cut by Angeles. And thank goodness everybody's okay.
The heck did that ball get hit that hard off the knob of the bat? Goodness.
I credit Palm's pitch. Payoff pitch, 2 outs, nobody on. Angeles takes, low and in on appeal of a check. He did not go. On a 2-out base on balls for Lansing. The Locos of Angeles at first base for Patrick McCall. And down 4-2. Wind continuing to blow left to right across the field, although I feel, Adam, like we were watching that wind a lot more in the early going. It hasn't died down, though. It just has not been a factor recently. The pitch, McCall takes, ball one outside. I bring that up now because you've got a left-handed slugger up there, where if Pat McCall just gets in a one down the right field line, that could tie the score at 4.
He's due for a big one, too.
Palm sets, kicks and throws. Backdoor breaking ball called a strike. Strikeout on a ground out to short by McCall so far today. Angeles, good speed away from first base. Not looking to run. And Tyler Palm, just in case, spins around off the rubber and stares at him anyway. You think because Aribiel Angeles is so much fun defensively, it makes the infielders want to pull a hidden ball trick on him?
Yeah, I'd say that could be true.
Helicopter directly above us. The pitch. McCall lifts it to left field. Morales back, 2 is right. And the corner with a two-hand squeeze. We've seen him playing catcher well, and there he is playing left field well. Lansing strands Angeles following the two-out walk. It remains Cedar Rapids leading 4-2 over the Locos on our way to the seventh inning. Adam Jex has got the call next.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications. Rehab. 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition. And Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
On to the seventh we move. Cedar Rapids doubling up the Locos 4-2. Stevie Emanuel's back on the hill for the Locos as he will face the top of the card. Anthony Prado, Christian Encarnacion Strand, and Aaron Sabato, the first three due up. A difficult trio. Here's the first pitch from the righty. And it skips in front of home plate, goes to the backstop for ball one. Prado in the leadoff spot tonight is 1-for-2 with a walk. He's reached twice, RBI single and a couple of stolen bases, and then scored from third on the throwing error from Soderstrom. The pitch, low and outside, 2 balls, no strikes. He got behind 0-2 against Emanuel's to open Emanuel's outing and then took 4 straight balls. The 2-0 here, up high, 3 balls, no strikes. Cedar Rapids with 2 runs in the third and 2 in the 5th. Lansing with a run in the first and a run in the third. 4 half innings with runs, 2 apiece for each team. 3-0. That's a high called strike one in at the letters outer part of the plate on the righty, Prado. Wears number one on the back of his red uniform tonight, the 5'10", 185-pounder. Swings and lifts it out to right. Back measures, now comes in, slides to his left, makes the catch. Christian Encarnacion Strand up to the plate. 2-for-3 tonight with a single, a double, and a strikeout. Let's take a peek at the Midwest League action tonight on this Friday in early June of 2022. Lake County is hosting West Michigan this week. And over in Classic Park, the captain's up 2-1. Here's one on the ground to his right, scooped up by Swift. He sends it over to McCall, who stretches. And there's 2 away. Great Lakes hosting Fort Wayne up at Dow Diamond. And it's the Tin Caps in front 6-1, thanks to a 4-run 3rd. Dayton is beating South Bend 5-2 at Dayer Ballpark down in Ohio. Dragons looking to move to 33-15. First pitch is low and outside to Aaron Sabato. Quad Cities, tough year this year, 18-30. Beloit 20-28, but it is Quad Cities up 3-1 at Modern Woodman Park. They just went in front with a 3-run 4th inning. 1-0. That's up high. 2 balls, no strikes.
Beloit had won the first 3 games of that series.
And they had been rolling and found ways to score late, including yesterday's game. 2-0. This one sent out to right field, and it is carrying just inside the right field line off the wall. Around first, Sabato headed to second. Here's the throw from Beck. It gets away from Swift, but good backup by Emanuels in front of third. A double from Sabato on the 2-0 pitch. So his second hit tonight, and the top three in the order continue to do damage. Five hits from Prado, Encarnacion, Strand, and Sabato to help with the four runs tonight as Cedar Rapids looks for more. Up 4-2 in the seventh. Here comes Don Schulze out to have a word. Tyler Soderstrom will join him as Stevie Emanuels looks to be nearing the end. We are nearing the end of our Midwest League update. The final game tonight in Wisconsin at Fox City Stadium, and it is the Timber Rattlers in front of the Chiefs of Peoria, 7-2. Wisconsin has scored in every half inning so far, two in the first, two in the second, and two in the third to have that five-run lead. There's your check of the Midwest League standings and scores. I should say the scores, not the standings. Here on this Friday night.
It's fascinating to me that Midwest League West Division chase. We're getting down toward the end of this first half, and it's Cedar Rapids in front of Wisconsin by one game and in front of South Bend by two games, and all three of those teams have split their last 10 games. Every time Cedar Rapids loses, Wisconsin does too, and sometimes South Bend does too. And then the Colonels respond with a win. That cancels out Wisconsin's win or South Bend's win. It's a great race in the West.
Here's Kyler Fedko. The pitch slides in there. High strike one. See, I told you, scores and standings in this seventh inning. But you're right, Jesse. That's what I was looking at and thinking. Cedar Rapids, Wisconsin, those two duking it out with South Bend. It is a tight race in the West. The 0-1 pitch. Slider again, just off the outer edge. One ball and one strike.
Meanwhile, when we saw Great Lakes, they were convinced they were going to catch up with first place Dayton, and they have not. Dayton has continued to maintain a comfortable edge between first and second.
Well, we saw this last year. The 1-1 fought back up over the lower bowl and off the sweets. That ball is coming back down. And it's caught by a young one to save it from going down into the lower bowl. It popped off the gutter, came down, and she reached over the railing from the suites and made the catch with one hand. Oh, that was tremendous. And the crowd gave her some love. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Fedko. Slider in there, strike three. Stevie Emanuels has his third strikeout. We're through six and a half. Stand up, stretch it out as we move to the bottom of the seventh. 4-2, Cedar Rapids. We move to the bottom of the seventh. It's the Locos trailing the Colonels 4-2. Adam Jackson, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with you tonight. Let's see if Lansing's got some comeback mojo in them. Alex Campos, Drew Swift, and Johnny Butler coming to the plate against Tyler Palm. And the first pitch. Out to right field. That ball dropping down for a base hit in front of first hit for Alex Campos up here with Lansing on the first pitch of the seventh. His debut comes And now 1-for-3 as he's put everything in play. That one left the infield. And that is the perfect way to turn it over for Drew Swift in the top of this order. Drew Swift, 1-for-2 tonight. Base hit, a walk, stolen base, 2 runs scored. Palms pitch. Fouled back. 0-1 on Swift. We give you the trivia answer here in this seventh inning. Brought it to you back a few half innings ago. About Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as it's bobblehead night tonight in Lansing. 0-1. In there, strike two. We asked you which team in the Midwest League did Vladdy hit the most home runs off of when he was here for his shortened stint in 2017. 71 games with the Nuts. The 0-2. That's a little bit wide. 1-2. I was feeling a little greedy tonight.
Uh-oh.
And a little tricky. So this one was a challenge. So if you got it, double thumbs up to you. The 1-2. That's low and outside. 2-2. I feel like I have to up my game because I know how smart the baseball listeners are that regularly join us each night on this broadcast. Jesse, did we get any answers?
We did. I'll throw my wild guess out at you first. I was thinking the Bowling Green Hot Rods, who are no longer in the Midwest League, who shifted leagues in the reorganization. Leanne Cook guessed Great Lakes.
2-2. Lifted out to right field, but hanging up, Fedko to our right, takes a step back, makes the catch, and there's the first out of the seventh. Well, this was a trick question, because there were two teams that flexed part of his 4 home runs to give him a total of 7. Like I said, a little tricky tonight. Jesse was halfway correct. Bowling Green, the former team here in the Midwest League that's now moved on. He had 2 home runs against Bowling Green. Here's Johnny Butler. Lifted back, foul, strike 1. 4-2 Cedar Rapids in the seventh. Runner at first with 1 out. The other team that he hit 2 home runs against was West Michigan. Right before Vladdy was promoted, he hit home runs in back-to-back games and then was off to high A. The pitch is in there. Strike 2. You go to early July, the 5th and the 6th against West Michigan. He hit home runs here in Lansing. And then the next week, he was with Dunedin. The 0-2. On the ground, foul first base side. So there you go. A little bit of a trick question thrown your way. But the two teams that Vladdy had 2 home runs against, Bowling Green and West Michigan, he would go on to have 7 for the Nuts. And then he would have 6 more that year in Dunedin in just 48 games to give him 13 total. He had 44 career minor league home runs. And now, of course, has ascended to the big boy level with the Blue Jays.
He never played Cedar Rapids.
That's a shame. The 0-2. Hard hit, foul. Left side of the infield. Phil Pohl staying in his position about 20 paces to the north of the third base coach's box. Just casually watched that zinger go by him.
You know what you can do if you want to keep track of those Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home runs?
Oh, tell me.
You can use the home run counter in your Vladdy Jr. bobblehead.
So cool. The 0-2 on the ground, first base side, foul. Good at bat here from Johnny Butler, stays 0-2. The first 1,000 fans tonight, and they came out early. Giveaway when the bobbleheads come out, but a Vladdy bobblehead with the home run counter on it, pretty darn cool. So a lot of souvenirs tonight. 0-2. Butler takes the first ball low. 1-2. Lansing trying to come back here, down 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh with a runner on first and Alex Campos, and 1 out. Johnny's had another good night tonight. Base hit, walk, and then grounded out. The pitch. Reached on foul, first base side.
It's a really good sign Lansing gets offense from Kempos. This is just his first game with the squad. He had grounded out each of his first two times. That was a nice-looking inside-out swing for his single. He's a guy who came in with a reputation more of a glove guy than a bat guy.
Ready to see the eighth pitch here to Butler. Here it is. Lashed out the other way, up into the seats. Butler getting his hands on these pitches, trying to straighten them out. Lansing with six more hits tonight after they had nine singles last night. Five of the six have been singles tonight. Maciel had the leadoff double in the fourth, their own lone extra base hit. Seen a few doubles and a triple from Cedar Rapids. The pitch just off the outer edge, 99 on the gun from Palm, and it's now 2-2.
That is a gutsy take by Johnny Butler.
This is a tremendous at-bat by the lefty. Ready to see his 10th pitch, and it's a 2-2 count. The throw. That's fouled back. How many times do you make it to 10 pitches in an at-bat, and it's not already a full count? Butler has fouled off numerous pitches. Seven of his 10 pitches have been fouled off. And now the 2-2. Lined out to left center field. To his right, Holland tracks it down. It was a good swing, but just held up a little bit too long and was a little too tight to Holland. And an 11-pitch at bat and center.
That's back-to-back good swings, too. Drew Swift lined out hard to right field before Johnny Butler hit that ball to left center. But we've talked about it. Will Holland can cover ground in a hurry in center field.
He sure can. Didn't even look like he was making much effort there, just kind of gliding to his right. And that's how you know you've got a center fielder, when they can cover that ground, and especially this huge outfield that is Jackson Field. You've got to go the extra steps to your right, to your left, of course to the deepest part of the park, back in right center. 407 out there. 330 up the lines. And the walls changing from 10 to 20 feet, 23 feet in the corners. It's got character, that's for certain, here at Jackson Field. And many fans out enjoying it tonight. The pitch, that's down low. One ball, no strikes. Tyler Soderstrom drawing a pitching visit a moment ago, as he's a guy that certainly can go deep. 10 home runs this year. That leads Lansing. The pitch. Outside. Two balls, no strikes. Soderstrom last night started the game 0-for-3, then had two late singles that were key. One drove in two runs. He started the game tonight 0-for-3. Two strikeouts and reached on an error. He is the tying run with Kempos at first and two outs. 4-2 in the seventh, Colonels. Palm comes set. The pitch, hammered out to center field. Holland is going back. He's at the track, looks up. It's off the top of the wall. Kempos is around third. He's coming home. The throw is cut off. Soderstrom slides into second with an RBI double. It's 4-3, Colonels, on the big swing from Soderstrom.
The wall in center field is 20 feet tall. If it's 16, 17 feet, this is a tie.
Wow, that was close. What do you think? That was 18, 19 feet up there?
Yeah.
And that is going to end the night for Palm. He just survives giving up the lead. Tyler Soderstrom, you never know when he's going to strike. But when there's runners on and it's a late game situation, you best believe he's putting in a good swing. And he did right there with another double. And now you have to face Austin Beck. And that draws the change.
New pitcher is Bobby Malacky out of Arizona. 6'2", 210 right-hander. Signed as a free agent last year. Malacky is 2-0 with a 2.53 ERA and 13 relief appearances this season. And 21 in the third innings. He's only allowed one homer with 8 walks compared to 22 strikeouts. And the Midwest League is hitting just .238 against him, Adam. Know that name, Malacky, at all?
I do know that name.
I remember his father pitching in the major leagues.
That's a fun last name. Milaki. M-I-L-A-C-K-I. Four runs, but you're facing one of the better offenses in the league in Lansing's. And you go from Tyler Soderstrom to Austin Beck. Two first overall picks. Jesse, I believe Lázaro Armenteros, perhaps, has come into the game at second base.
Yes,
sir. Lázaro comes in for Tyler Soderstrom. A little bit more speed at second with the tying run. There, 180 feet away. Here's the first pitch to Beck. Takes a pitch on the outer edge. Strike one at 80 miles an hour. Off speed there. Twisting away from Beck.
Interesting. Bobby Milaki in his headshot online wears glasses. But no glasses as he pitches right now.
Changes it up. Throws. That's inside. Good stop by Mack. One ball, one strike. So Soderstrom catching tonight. So the Locos will need a new man behind the plate. We'll see if it's Jared McDonald or perhaps Hanson Lopez, Matt Cross, and a few options. 1-1. Up high to Beck as he backs up staggering. 2-1. 4-3 our score. Lansing now with a run in the first, the third, here in the seventh as well to cut the lead to one. Tying run at second. It has been a great game between these two teams tonight. The pitch. Beck fouls it down the third base side after it kicked off one of his shoe tops. Looks like that front left foot that it got as he hobbles around the right side of the box and now stops bent over. Touching that left foot and just kind of feeling it out. Hobbling his way back towards the right side of the box. 3-2 on Beck. I think that 2-2 as Austin takes a couple of extra steps. Phil Pohl is halfway down the line just to check in. Right fielder looks like he's all right.
Mentioned that home run served up by Milaki this year. Only one came his last outing, Adam, to Tristan Peters of Wisconsin.
Well, Austin would love to get his eighth of the year and put the Locos in front. The pitch, swing and a miss. He chased the fastball up instead, went for the home run swing, and instead he got a 93-mile-an-hour pitch up, and that's going to end it in the seventh. They leave Armenteros stranded at second, but a Soderstrom double scores a run and gives the Locos a little bit closer opportunity. Down 4-3. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler takes you the rest of the way after this.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Two key changes to tell you about as we go to the eighth inning. Colonels 4, Locos 3. New man on the mound, the right-hander Daniel Martinez. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. The catcher is Matt Cross. Martinez throws. Seth Gray takes ball one outside. crosses in after Tyler Soderstrom doubled in Alex Campos in the bottom half of the seventh inning and then was taken out for a pinch runner in Lázaro Armenteros. A 1-0, down low and inside. Two balls, no strikes on Gray, followed by Morales and Javier for Cedar Rapids. 5-6-7 batters in the order against the right-hander from Riverside, California, Daniel Martinez. Seth Gray bats left. The 2-0. That just missed inside. Three balls and no strikes. A nip-and-tuck game here tonight in front of a great crowd. Martinez in his 14th appearance of the year deals. And there's a called strike at the knees. 3-1 on Gray.
ERA is up over 11 for Martinez. Jesse, 16 hits allowed, 5 home runs, 14 walks, 10 strikeouts. Opponents batting 271 against the righty.
He lets it fly. Gray swings and bounces foul, a breaking ball at home plate right off his foot painfully. Count is full. Thank you, Adam. Daniel Martinez comes in relieving Stevie Emanuels. Emanuels ended up going 4 2/3 innings. He allowed 4 runs, 2 in the third, and 2 in the fourth. He struck out 3. He allowed 6 hits. He walked 2. And now Martinez in the eighth. And this is a payoff pitch for Gray. Breaking ball called strike 3. He gave him the hook. One gone. Last time that we saw Daniel Martinez in this series, he was highly effective. He fired 2 scoreless innings in Tuesday's series opener, the early one, the Grand Slam School Day, in relief of Jeff Criswell. Righty-righty, the pitch to Jefferson Morales. A ground ball, wide of third, barely. Campos was covering the line to his right, but it's strike 1. Colonels 4, Locos 3, with Cedar Rapids batting in the 8th.
What an eventful first at bat there. Get behind 3-0, come back with 3 straight strikes, and finish him with a curve?
Yeah.
My goodness. Empty the bag.
Big time. Martinez struck out 2 on Tuesday. Just allowed 1 hit. And 0-1. Up and in, and it strikes Morales on his left arm. Hit by a pitch for the 6th time this year. One out base runner for the Colonels, and Wander Javier is coming up.
Well, he just gets so tight to the plate that you can understand opposing pitchers trying to throw it inside on him because it's not easy to come around on a pitch when you're that close to the plate, and Martinez just came in a touch too far inside and nipped him.
Adam, do you know the name of Nick Sine?
I don't.
Nick Sine's final pro season was in 2017. Didn't play baseball after that. He was a teammate of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., tonight's bobblehead. The pitch to Wander Javier, righty to righty. Strike 1 called on the breaking ball to start him. Nick Sine played in only 79 games. He batted 215. His on-base percentage was 405 because in 79 games, Nick Sine was hit by 38 pitches. And a 1. Strike 2 called to Javier. Right back to the hook. 38 HBPs in 79 games.
Wow. I think he had some bruises?
Yes, the entire year. Jefferson Morales has nothing on Sine. 0-2 pitch to Javier. Swings and taps it out in front of the plate. Cross, the catcher calls for it, picks it up with a bare hand, and wings down to first. Out recorded. Morales up to second. 2 away in the 8th inning. Like a swinging bunt from Javier. And the batter will now be Will Holland. The joy of watching Nick Sine was you knew anytime he took on a pitcher who had never faced him before, he was going to get hit. Because that pitcher did not understand where you couldn't pitch him. Adam, Nick Sine had the ability to get hit by a pitch when the pitch was right down the middle. And the umpires never called him back. Righty, righty, Will Holland taking low. Ball 1 from Daniel Martinez. The pitchers on the Lugnuts in 2017, they would pull up the plays and they'd say, thank goodness you're not having to face me. I would blow my top. Breaking ball low and outside, two balls, no strikes. You'd see the gears working in Sine's mind as he walked up to home plate. Did he want to get hit by a pitch or did he want to swing the bat, that plate appearance? Morales at second, two away, time called at home plate by catcher Cross. The Colonels are batting with a one-run lead, looking for insurance. This is the bottom part of the order, though, and Will Holland is 0 for 3, strikeout, ground out, flyout.
You're talking about all the reasons why young Adam got out of baseball. Scared of the pitches, hitting him.
2-0. Just missed inside, nearly struck Holland.
These guys are tough, man. I give them credit. Those balls come in, and they can hit you in some really painful spots.
Yeah. Got to know how to wear it, right?
That's right. Tough it out.
This is a 3-0 from Martinez. And Holland takes ball four outside. Well, a strikeout in HBP, a ground out, a walk. And with two on and two out, it'll be up to the number nine hitter now. Cedar Rapids brings up catcher Charles Mack, who is 1 for 3 with a triple. But the pitching coach, Don Schulte, jogs out to the mound first. And the entire infield comes together around Martinez. First baseman McCall, the last to join the meeting.
I think you feel confident about Lansing's offense right now. This is a very important out to be had. You keep this at a one-run game. Keep the pressure on the Colonels, even though they've got great pitchers. Lansing has had an answer most of the nights this week against their pitching staff, especially late in games. They put up some runs, so this is really important that Martinez keeps this thing within a run and gives Lansing a chance to sneak a run across in the last couple of half innings.
When we go to the bottom half of this eighth, we'll see Lawrence Butler, Gabriel Maciel, and Aribiel Angeles. Two on, two out, 4-3 Colonels. The pitch, Charles Mack takes a called strike on the outside corner. Off speed to start him. Martinez comes set, right-hander, deals to the left-handed batter, and he missed low and in. One ball and one strike on Mack. The Mack man from Williamsville, New York, 22 years old, drafted out of high school in the sixth round in 2018. Martinez to the plate. A breaking ball is lifted to shallow center field, falling in for a base hit. Morales is around third, coming in to score. Lawrence Butler delivers into second base, all the while Holland takes third. An RBI single dunking in from Mack, and the Colonels lead 5-3.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Jesse. A dunker, exactly what it was. And sometimes those are the best ones when you got runners on base because it's hit so weakly. It's a long run for a guy like Lawrence Butler to get up to it, and then just no opportunity to wind up and throw home in time. And Cedar Rapids gets a big insurance run.
Now top of the order. Here comes Anthony Prado, who is 1 for 3 with an RBI single, a walk, and two runs scored. He takes ball one away from Martinez. Think about yesterday, eighth inning. And it was Lansing leading 4-3 and scoring insurance runs to win the game 7-3. Prado swings and lines a base hit to right field. This brings in Holland. Right fielder Beck can't cut it off. It goes all the way to the wall. Mack is around third. He's coming in to score. And to third base standing, it's Anthony Prado. A two-run triple gives Cedar Rapids a 7-3 lead. That ball scooted past Beck, who did not take the right angle. And now here comes Christian Encarnacion Strand. And how about that for the parallels? Three insurance runs yesterday for Lansing in the eighth to take a 4-3 lead to 7-3. Cedar Rapids returns the favor. First pitch to Encarnacion Strand. High, ball one. Anthony Prado. Three RBI game, two hit, two runs scored. 90 feet away, and Encarnacion Strand takes the breaking ball for a called strike one. That was not a line drive that was very high off the air. It was just hit so hard, and it skimmed its way through the grass all the way to the base of the wall in right center. The pitch. Strike two called. Outside corner. Martinez right back to the curve.
You hit it in the perfect spot here at Jackson Field. It is going to be a good opportunity for you to get on your horse and head to third.
They got out the horses, too. The pitch hit in the air, a towering fly to right. It's trouble. Beck is back into the corner, but it's foul to the right of the pole. One ball, two strikes. It remains on Encarnacion Strand.
Well, he got some help there because the wind has basically died down to nothing after it was whipping at around 16 miles an hour earlier in this game. That would have pushed that way foul, but since it's hardly blowing now, that thing almost tucked inside of the pole down the right field line.
This is Californian against Californian. Martinez from Riverside to Encarnacion Strand from Pleasant Hill. Breaking ball thrown away, and then lost by catcher Cross. He blocked it up the first baseline. He couldn't locate it, and in from third, Prado scores. And he limps his way back to the third baseside dugout. They appeal to check swing, denied by bases umpire Jackson. Two balls and two strikes for Encarnacion Strand. A wild pitch for Martinez, and it's now 8-3 Colonels. Two outs, nobody on. A 2-2 pitch on its way. Ground ball down toward third, but foul left of the base. Backhanded anyway by Campos, just in case. Christian Encarnacion Strand was the April Midwest League Player of the Month. He finished April hitting .410. His batting average has sunk all the way down to .298. Talented right-handed hitter. 2-2 is on its way. Reaches out, pokes a piece of it, and back it goes to the backstop. Now, if you go down to .298 after hitting .410 in April, you can understand. The batting average has taken a bit of a downturn, but in this series, we have seen some big swings. On opening day this year, he drove in 9 runs. The pitch. He takes a called strike 3. Martinez freezes him with the breaking ball and retires to the side in the top of the 8th inning. But perhaps too late. The Cedar Rapids Colonels played 4 in the 8th inning on 2 hits, an HBP, and
the same mobile app.
Bottom of the 8th inning begins with Lawrence Butler taking outside ball 1. Lansing Locos and Butler trail 8-3 to the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Righty Bobby Malacky deals. A ground ball shot to first baseman Sabato. Takes it himself. Unassisted for out number 1. Butler retired, now 0-4 tonight. On the batter will be Gabriel Maciel, the former Colonel. 2-for-3 with a single, though he was picked off and caught stealing by the Cedar Rapids starter David Festa. A double on a ground out to second his last time. Maciel, the switch hitter, bats left against right-handed reliever Malacky, who delivers. Outside corner, strike called. 8-3 Cedar Rapids. Boy, this game has taken on a different tenor. Malacky to the plate. That's a ground ball, squibbing towards second. Weird English, but handled well by Prado. Throws to first for out number 2. In the bottom of the 7th inning, Lansing was just a couple of feet away from tying the score. Down 4-2. Tyler Soderstrom facing the reliever Tyler Palm with a runner aboard, and he crushed one to straightaway center field, but it came up off the top of the center field wall, the 20-foot-tall wall, for an RBI double rather than a 2-run game-tying homer. The pitch to Aribiel Anales is high, ball 1. And then Soderstrom's pinch runner, Lázaro Armenteros, was stranded at second base by this reliever, Bobby Malacky, who offers. Anales grounds to shortstop, loved by Javier. The throw to Sabato, and that ends the 8th inning. 3 ground outs against Malacky. He got out of the 7th, striking out Beck. He is through a 3-up, 3-down 8th. And Cedar Rapids leads 8-3 on our way to the 9th inning from Michigan Avenue in between Cedar Street and Large Street in downtown Lansing.
and Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Daniel Martinez pitched the eighth. He's back for the ninth. 8-3, Colonels leading Martinez and the Locos. A breaking ball low, ball one. Delivered into the Cedar Rapids first baseman, Aaron Sabato. Adam Jaxa by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Sabato, Fedco, Gray, 3-4-5. Meet of the order for the Colonels. Roddy, Roddy, the 1-0. At the knees, strike call. Sabato is 2-for-4 with a two-run single and a double. 8-3, Cedar Rapids. Now pitch is on its way. Line drive, right field, that's a base hit. Bet to his left to cut it off. He gloves, he fires it in. And that is the third hit of the game for Sabato, an oppo single leading off the ninth inning. And he did it on two strikes. Kyler Fedco steps in next. 10 base hits tonight for Cedar Rapids.
Tonight for them, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kyler Fedco, the cleanup hitter, though. He's just 0-for-3 with a walk. The pitch, low and away, ball one. He had his banner day 2 days ago. Three hits, four runs scored, a home run, and the Colonels 10-2 win. But Anthony Prado, the leadoff hitter, has knocked in three, has scored three. Martinez throws. Outside, two balls, no strikes. Christian Encarnacion Strand batting second, a single, a double, and a run scored. And Aaron Sabato hitting third. 3-for-5, two singles, a double, two ribbies. Two ball pitch. High pop up, right side, heading foul. First baseman McCall looks out and watches it disappear into the third row. I tell you what, though, Adam, if we go back last inning, I would say that the key swing was supplied by the number 9 hitter. Runners were at first and second, two out. And Daniel Martinez against Charles Mack. And it was Mack delivering an RBI single in a center field to bring in Jefferson Morales. That started the four-run rally. Fedco grounds one foul up the left side. Two balls and two strikes.
Well, and he's the 9 hitter, too. I mean, he gets the hit, starts the momentum, and then you turn it back over to the three guys that have been outstanding tonight. And it turns into a four-run half inning.
Charles Mack opened up today hitting 203. He's 2-for-4. RBI single and a triple, two runs scored out of the 9 hole. Aaron Sabato, the runner at first base, opened tonight hitting 209. Breaking ball, just missed. Maybe a little up, maybe a little in. Three balls and two strikes on Fedco.
That was right there. Very nice pitch.
Yeah. Lafkew fireworks will follow this game. 8-3 Colonels in the ninth. Payoff. Smoke to center field. Butler started in. Now to his right to nab it. Tomorrow, Lafkew fireworks as well. Lansing and Cedar Rapids getting together for the fifth game of the six-game series. And tomorrow will be REO Speedwagon Tribute Night with the special tribute uniforms. Go to LansingLugnuts.com or call 517-485-4500 and get your tickets. Seth Gray bats left, one on, one out. It takes ball one low. breaking ball. Gray is 0 for 3 with a walk.
Sometimes you just can't fight this feeling coming out to Jackson Field and supporting the Nuts.
Martinez sets and throws. Check swing, down and in. He did go around too far. Home plate umpire Diedrich made the call himself. One ball, one strike. It's going to be great. That's tomorrow night. Blake Beers gets the ball for Lansing. Coming off 6 innings, 11 strikeouts at Beloit. The 1-1. Check swing this time. Once again, breaking ball in the dirt. He did not go around too far. Two balls, one strike on Gray.
I just can't wait to see those REO Speedwagon unis.
Yeah.
Pretty darn cool.
Cedar Rapids is going to throw the lefty Brent Hedrick, 6'6 southpaw, ninth rounder Hedrick from 2019. He's been great. Gray takes ball three outside. Hedrick so far this year, 8 starts, 37 innings, 7 runs allowed, 156 the batting average against him, a 1.70 ERA. A 3-1 pitch from Martinez. Gray takes ball four, low. A single, a lineout, a walk. 2-1 with one gone for the Colonels in the ninth, leading in Lansing by an 8-3 score. And the batter will be Jefferson Morales. But first, Phil Pohl is on his way out to the mound. And he gives a look down to the bullpen as well, and here's the signal. Martinez. Looks like Edward Barham trotting in from the Lansing pen. The Locos are down by 5. 8-3 Colonels in the top of the ninth, and this will be the fourth Lansing pitcher of the ball game. It is, in fact, Edward Barham, the right-hander from Saddlebrook, New Jersey. And, Adam, I will not take up any more of your time in terms of talking about the new reliever. Instead, I'll talk about on Sunday, the starting pitching matchup, we're going to see Sean Mooney for the Colonels against Lansing's Shohei Tomioka. Tomioka making his first home start of the year. Just joined Lansing on the road at Beloit. We saw him in a piggyback appearance following Hogan Harris. Tomioka spent all of last year's professional debut with Lansing. Opened up this year injured. Heard great things about how he was looking in spring training. So Beers tomorrow and Tomioka on Sunday for Lansing. Hedrick followed by Mooney for the Colonels. Sunday, 1:05 p.m. at Capital City Market Kids Day. Meanwhile, let's talk about the new pitcher, Edward Barham.
All right, Jesse, let's do that. Mr. Barham this year, ERA just under 8 through 13 games. He's pitched in 17 and a third innings. Only 2 home runs allowed, has given up 15 earned runs, 19 walks, 10 strikeouts. As we talked about him a few nights ago, sometimes just can't command the zone. That's why those walk numbers are up, but hopefully he can shoot him straight in the zone tonight and get the final couple outs in this half inning.
Barham at one point had a full beard, and now he's gone unshaven look.
Change things up.
Yeah.
Beardless Barham.
That's right. No beardless Brock Whittlesey, though.
No.
Beard is still alive and well, just 2.5 inches shorter.
3/4 full beard.
Yeah. Jefferson Morales, the batter. Ball one low and away from Barham. Morales is 0 for 2. Fly to right, line to center in the second and the fourth innings, respect by pitch, and scored a run in the eighth inning. The 4-run eighth. Now here we are an inning later, end of the ninth. 8-3 Colonels. Morales swings and misses. One ball and one strike. Seth Gray is at first base. He walked. Aaron Sabato's at second base. He singled. Righty-righty the matchup. Barham sits high, deals. And that too is grounded foul. A little back, a little to the left. One ball and two strikes in Edward Barham.
Back and to the left, you say, huh?
Back and to the left. Barham out of Adelphi University deals. High fly ball, left center field. Room for Lawrence Butler. Center fielder to his right makes the catch in the gap. He fires it in. back to second base, Sabato. Gray back to first. Morales is out number two. And now Wander Javier. Daniel Martinez today, 1 1/3 innings, though his line is not yet complete because of those two runners. Martinez walked two. He allowed three base hits. And so far, four runs charged to him. Barham's pitch called a strike on the outside corner to Javier. Martinez struck out two, and those strikeouts bookended the eighth inning. Struck out Gray, struck out Encarnacion Strand. Javier takes a pitch inside, and it's 1-1. Wander Javier batting seventh, 1-for-4 with a single. 8 runs, 10 hits for the Colonels, 3 runs, 7 hits for the Locos. Here's a line drive base hit into center field, hit number 11. Around third base, Aaron Sabato. The throw in, up. Oh, Sabato is down. He fell down in a throw to third base. He's easily tagged out, and the side retired. Aaron Sabato in round, and the throw came all the way into catcher Cross, who pegged immediately to Campos, and that's the easiest out that Alex Campos will ever record. Let's go to the bottom of the ninth inning. The lead remains 8-3. Colonels on top of the Lansing Locos.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And to the bottom half of the ninth inning. But first, Lansing Locos manager Phil Pohl is conversing with the umpires Diedrich and Jackson as the Cedar Rapids Colonels very slowly take the field, but they have not gone through their defensive paces yet. And the conversation ensues on the right of the home plate circle. They're all waiting right now on Phil Pohl, speaking with both as they get things sorted out. Phil Pohl is pointing toward his dugout. He's pointing up the right side. Off goes the bases umpire, Ken Jackson, and up the rampway. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Adam Jaxa. You never know. You never know what you're going to see on a night-by-night basis. Waiting on the bases umpire, Jackson, while the home plate umpire, Diedrich, looks into the Cedar Rapids dugout on the third base side. And now here comes Ken Jackson once again. And a conversation is going to ensue. Manager Brian Dinkelman and Nathan Diedrich, and we are still waiting. And because we don't have anybody mic'd up down there, we don't have anybody listening in, we are all the way up here.
Jesse, what are we waiting for?
The Cedar Rapids Colonels have all paired off in the infield with the exception of the catcher, Mac. They've left him out. There's a pair of Colonels talking all over the place, three different pairs. As we sort things out from Lansing, Michigan, before we get to the bottom half of the ninth inning. Colonels 8, Locos 3. Just to take you back through it, it was Lansing that scored first in the bottom of the first inning. The Locos took a 1-0 lead. Austin Beck's RBI ground out, plating Drew Swift. In the top of the third inning, though, Cedar Rapids grabbed the edge, a two-run single by Aaron Sabato, and it was 2-1 Colonels. In the bottom of the third inning, Austin Beck singled in Drew Swift, and it was 2-2. But then 2 innings later, in the top of the fifth inning, Anthony Prado an RBI single, and then he stole third and came in on a throwing error by Tyler Soderstrom, and it was 4-2 Cedar Rapids. It remained 4-2 all the way to the bottom half of the seventh inning when Tyler Soderstrom crushed one off the top of the center field wall, an RBI double, and that made it 4-3. And now we have found our Cedar Rapids Colonels pitcher. Ryan Shreve heads out to the mound. I think we were waiting for Ryan. They found him. Here he is. And Shreve is going to go through his warm-ups for the bottom half of the ninth inning.
He forget to put his uniform on? Or?
Meanwhile, I don't think the infielders have a ball to go through their defensive bases. Now they just chucked a ball out to the third baseman, Gray. And here you go. Now the infielders can go through their warm-ups. We had the hold-up. Let's see. We were waiting on Shreve, the pitcher. And Phil Pohl, the Lansing manager, has now headed out down the third base side. There was no pitcher, and then the bases umpire, Ken Jackson, disappeared. And now we've got both umpires. Now we've got the full complement of Colonels fielders, Colonels defenders in place. As Lansing is going to bring up McCall, Campos, and Swift for this bottom of the ninth inning. As I was taking you through all the run scoring, what I left out was the four-run top of the eighth inning for the Colonels and the big blow, the two-run triple by Anthony Prado. And here we are. Colonels with the lead 8-3 over Lansing. If they win, these two squads will have split these first four games of the series as we head into the weekend. Well, if anybody was worried that the pitch clock would delay with the sunset and the game would get finished up too quick and it wouldn't be dark enough for LAFCU fireworks, I think we're going to be okay today. We are approaching the 10 o'clock hour.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time to just have the fans enjoy a few extra minutes at the park. It's a beautiful night for baseball.
Ryan Shreve has finished up his warm-ups, and the 6'6 right-hander from Sherman Oaks, California, will take on McCall, Campos, and Swift. And we will hear everything about what caused this delay after the game.
Oh, I can tell you everything right now if you'd like.
Well, shall we?
Yeah.
Here's the pitch to the left-handed hitting McCall from the righty Shreve. On its way. Outside, ball one. And let's go to our special correspondent.
Well, we heard that Mr. Right-hander out there actually had something on his hand, so he just had to go wash his hands off and come back out.
Okay. Here's the 1-0. A ground ball to second baseman Prado. Gloves, takes his time, throws to first, out number one. How long does it take to wash your hands?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the umpire saw some sort of substance or something and said, hey, you got to go wash that off. But he went to the bathroom, washed the hands, cleaned them off, and now he's ready to go. Gets no time wasting to get that first out.
And now that brings up Alex Campos, who is 1-for-3 with a run scored in his Lansing debut. Cedar Rapids is two outs away from an 8-3 win. Righty-righty. Pitch on its way. A ground ball up the middle, past the mound, takes a wicked hop, and it skips right over Prado into center field. Base hit. Holland lobs it in from center. It's a two-hit game for Campos with a one-out single.
No chance for Prado. That skipped at the base and went over his head. Oh, my goodness.
Adam, I was looking into Alex Campos earlier today as Drew Swift steps up there. Loco's trailing 8-3, but a man on with one gone. Swift 1-for-3 with a single, a walk, a steal, and two runs scored. Shreve sets. Holds, delivers. High, ball one. All right, so why is Alex Campos with Lansing? Well, Brett Harris got promoted. Why did Brett Harris get promoted? Zach Geloff became injured in AA Midland. So Midland needed an infielder, and Harris came up from Lansing. High A to AA. Ball one offering. Breaking ball outside. Harris had excelled here. And so far, he is excelling in double A. Well, now Lansing needs a third baseman. Because all that this squad has had to play third base has been Joshuan Wright. And so they were looking for somebody else. Jack Winkler, after all, is still on the injured list. Here comes the 2-0. Inside, ball three. At single A Stockton, they have three different players who've switched off at third base. They have Jalen Greer. They have Jawan Paulino. They have TJ Schofield-Sam. And then here's Alex Campos, who is down in Arizona Complex League. A three-ball pitch. That's taken up and in. Ball four. Swift draws his second walk of the game. And this game for Swift is now identical to yesterday's game. Yesterday and today. Hang with me here. One for three, a single, two runs scored, and two walks. Identical.
And that's a guy that just keeps getting on base. And he's a guy that's going to keep leading off for Phil Pohl's squad. Productive plate appearances.
Back to those third base candidates in Stockton. None of them have hit. There was nobody like Brett Harris who was tearing the cover off the ball at the lower level. Johnny Butler bats left. Two on, one out. Down eight, three in the ninth. Butler takes a called strike on the inside corner. Jawan Paulino is batting 206. TJ Schofield Sam, 232. 597 OPS. And Jalen Greer, whom we saw at the very end of last year, was 0 for 10 with Lansing, is hitting 120. And so, the Athletics made the decision. Send in Alex Campos, who is 2-for-4 in his Lansing debut. Shreve throws. Line drive base in right field, Johnny Butler. Windmill for Campos. Speeding around third, into score. Swift at second. Johnny Butler has the RBI single. And the Locos trail 8-4.
Well, you knew they weren't going to go down quietly with how this offense has been in this series. They hit well at home. You had to go through the top of the order one more time. Don't go anywhere just yet.
Coming up now for Lansing. We are going to see a pinch hitter. It's Jared McDonald. McDonald pinch hits for Cross, who replaced Lazar Armenteros, who replaced Tyler Soderstrom. And now a visit to the mound, and the umpires are both out there, and Ryan Shreve is not happy at all.
I think they're saying he's got to leave the game because of the substance.
They're looking at that right hand. Manager Brian Dinkelman is out there, so is pitching coach Mark Moriarty. And they're looking at that right hand very carefully for Shreve. Adam just shared that was the reason for the delay to begin this bottom of the ninth inning. Well, in this bottom of the ninth, Shreve got Patrick McCall on the ground out to second. But Campos singled, bad hop over Prado. Then the walk to Swift, and now just a moment ago, the RBI single by Johnny Butler. And there goes Ryan Shreve to the third base side dugout. A call to the bullpen for the Colonels in the bottom of the ninth inning, protecting an 8-4 lead.
He looked really frustrated that he had to come out of this game. You could see him adamantly motioning to the umpire that he was upset with what he was being told. But, I mean, that may be more detrimental to the Locos because they were swinging well against him. Now they'll face a new man on the mound. But you move on and keep on keeping on here for the Locos, who are having a good run here in the ninth inning, trying to put a rally together and at least bring the tying run to the plate.
Well, Jared McDonald will be the pinch hitter, but first to the new man on the mound. The right-hander Derek Molina sees his second action in the series.
And he's got an ERA just over 4.5, Jesse. His 14th appearance, 8 earned runs this year. He's only allowed 1 home run, 7 walks, 16 strikeouts. And when you're a bad boy, you got to go to the bullpen. Well
what
done.
You going to do?
Well done, Terry Allapart. Well done.
Well, Jared McDonald, who will be the Lansing pinch hitter. Yesterday, we saw him stoke an RBI single. McDonald's hitting 280 this year through 24 games. He has three doubles and three home runs with a 753 OPS. He will be coming up in a situation with Butler at first and Swift at second. Great speed. The tying run is still going to be in the on-deck circle. But isn't this bottom of the ninth inning interesting? And if we look back to the way that the top of the ninth inning came to an end, it appeared that Cedar Rapids was going to extend its lead. Two on, two out. Edward Barham on the mound. Wander Javier lined a base hit into center field. Aaron Sabato was wheeling around third base. And then he fell down. And I could not tell you what was going on with third base coach and manager Brian Dinkelman and Aaron Sabato. What we can tell you is Aaron Sabato took a stumble. He blew a tire, handed up on the ground, just past third base. Matt Cross, playing defense for Lansing, the catcher, caught the throw-in from center fielder Lawrence Butler, winged it quickly to third baseman Campos, who applied the tag, and Sabato and the Colonels were done. And instead of a 9-3 lead, and the rally still going, suddenly we were going to the bottom of the ninth inning, and here come the Locos. Jared McDonald against the right-hander Derek Molina. Bottom of the ninth, one out, two on. Locos down by four. The pitch, strike called on the inside corner. Righty, righty. A look back to the runner at second, Swift. A second glance. The pitch. Up high. One ball and one strike on McDonald. When Derek Molina pitched earlier in this series, he did not face McDonald. He gave up a two-run triple to Gabriel Maciel, though. A sac fly to Austin Beck. And a home run to Tyler Soderstrom. The right-hander fires. McDonald fouls it off. Over the netting and off to our right side. It's 1-2.
Just feels like there's something left in this wacky game, Jesse. You know those games where you kind of forget about the first few innings because there's so much happening in the last couple of innings? That's kind of how this one feels, all wrapped up in one final inning.
Pitcher's pitch. Molina sets. Deals. Inside. Catcher Mac wanted it. Fifth pitcher of the ball game for the Colonels. David Festa, the first five, and then Palm, Malacky, Shreve, and now Molina, after Shreve was forced to leave by the umpires. Substance on his right hand. Time granted to the catcher, Mac.
That's the first time we've seen that this year, and we saw him try and go and correct it before the half inning began, and apparently didn't get the substance off his hand completely and then had to exit.
Two balls and two strikes on McDonald. Here's the pitch. He swings and chops it towards short. Off the backhand of Prado, hopping up in the air, and he's got no play. To third, Swift, Johnny Butler to second, and Jared McDonald is on at first on the error. Wander Javier at shortstop was heading to his left to grab it, but second baseman Prado, playing up the middle, got there first. And it hopped right off his glove. It skipped up high out of the air. And by the time it came down, there was a Loco at every base.
And now the Locos have achieved what they wanted, bringing the tying run to the plate and a big swinger in that.
Austin Beck, 1-for-4 today. He has knocked in two of Lansing's four runs. 8-4 Colonels. The first pitch, up high and inside. One ball and no strikes. Swift at third, Butler at second, McDonald at first, one out, bottom of the ninth inning. Here it comes. Outside corner, strike called on the Molina fastball.
Well, the four-run eighth inning by Cedar Rapids kind of took the drama out of this game, but for how good of a game it has been, it only seems fitting to bring it back here for the bottom of the ninth.
When Beck faced Molina on Tuesday, he hit it on the nose, a sharp line out to right that turned into a sac fly. Round two, 1-1. Strike two called, working the outside corner. A double play ends the game. A grand slam ties the game. There's a lot of latitude in between. A 1-2 for Beck. Breaking ball grounded, foul, sharply up the left side.
Well, and if you're thinking big swing, the Lugnuts have not had those big swings the last couple of nights. Only two doubles tonight and all singles for their hits yesterday. So as power heavy of a team they are, especially at home, those have been absent the last couple of games.
Molina has his sign and comes set. He throws to Beck. Breaking ball hit in the air to center field. Holland to his right comes in. He's got the catch. The runner tags from third base. Swift, a throw to the plate is late and up the line. Drew Swift scores standing. So for a second time, Beck a sack fly against Molina. And now Lansing trails 8-5. Two outs in the bottom of the ninth. With Johnny Butler hanging tight at second base and Jared McDonald staying at first, the batter will be Lawrence Butler.
You don't have to hit this one out. Even if you get a single, extend the game, or find a gap, there's a chance McDonald could score all the way from first.
By the way, third time in this game that Beck has scored Swift as Lawrence Butler takes ball one outside.
It's a good combo at the top of the order.
2-1, two out, 8-5 Colonels, last of the ninth. Lawrence Butler from the left side waiting on the righty, Molina. A ball went offering on its way. Low and gets right through catcher Mack. Both runners move up. A wild pitch for Molina. Two balls and no strikes on Butler as McDonald takes second and Johnny Butler moves to third. Lawrence Butler is hitless today. Two strikeouts, two groundouts. A 2-0. Inside for ball three. Now let's say that Molina misses. That would load the bases and bring up the game-winning run in the person of the former Colonel, Gabriel Maciel. Here comes the 3-0. Butler swings away and skies it to center. Will Holland is under it. He waits. It comes down into his glove, and this ball game is over. The Cedar Rapids Colonels survive. Final score, the Colonels 8 and the Locos 5.
Tough one. Good fight till the end for the Locos tonight. And Butler, he was looking for that home run swing to tie it. 3-0. Knew he was going to get a fastball and just missed it. And you give the Colonels credit here. That four-run eighth does in the Locos tonight.
Well, final totals. 8 runs on 11 hits and 2 errors for the Colonels. We've talked about how their defensive sloppiness has hurt them this year. There were chances that they presented Lansing, but in the end, the Locos could not take advantage. For Lansing in the end, 5 runs, 9 hits, and 1 error. And so the Colonels improved to 31-18. The Locos fall to 19-30. And each team has won 2 games in this series.
It's been a great series. Back and forth, Jesse. I mean, if you're the Lansing Locos, you have to be thrilled. Obviously, you don't like the result tonight and didn't like the result on Wednesday, but you're going toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the Midwest League, a team that's got a great staff, and you're finding good at-bats against them. You're getting runners home, and you're competing against them. It's going to be a great final 2 games of this series.
And tomorrow night, REO Speedwagon night, more than a feeling.
Absolutely. Can't wait for it. Those uniforms are going to be awesome, and hope to see you out here at the park.
Now, the first LAFQ fireworks show of the year is about to begin tomorrow night as well. LAFQ fireworks following the REO Speedwagon tribute night with the special Speedwagon jerseys for these Lansing Lugnuts. Game time 7.05 p.m. Adam and I will be on the airwaves about 6.50 p.m. the Eastern Time Zone. And then Sunday will be the series finale at Capital City Market, Kids Day at 1.05. Starting pitching matchup tomorrow, Colonel Southpaw Brent Hedrick against the Lugnuts right-hander Blake Beers in his second Lansing start. looking to follow up his 11 strikeout, 6 scoreless inning performance his first time out against one of the Colonel's aces in Hedrick. And then Sunday, we expect Sean Mooney to go for Cedar Rapids. And meanwhile, Lansing's going to counter on the other side with the right-hander Shohei Tomioka in his home debut. We invite you to join us here at the ballpark. Go to LansingLugNuts.com or call 517-485-4500. Adam, as far as tonight goes, any final thoughts?
Jesse, it's time for me to fly. And you. See you tomorrow.
For Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Your final score, Cedar Rapids 8, Lansing 5. We wish you well from Michigan State Capitol and Jackson Field.